720 WGN. It is Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase studio in for Patty tonight until 2 a.m. Excited to be here on what is, it's an absolutely beautiful night, but you can see it's starting to get cool out there. It's one of those things where I think our wonderful, even though summer is technically, and I hold it to this as far as the calendar goes, it goes into, I think it's the 21st. Of September is still summer. So technically it's still summer, but you get some of those cool nights. It gives a little indicator into kind of what could be around the corner for us though. And right now we talked about it with the Press Plus guys, and what a great job by Kevin and Sam. Amazing stuff. And this is one of those kind of transitional weekends. You know, Labor Day is what it is. It's kind of the end, the unofficial, right? Because the 21st of September, unless you do the, is it the not, Elif, do you know anything about, is it the meteorological summer or fall? How does that work? You know, I know there's a couple different dates. The 21st, I think, is of September is kind of, that's where summer goes to. But there's another date, right?
September 21st is the fall equinox.
And but isn't there some other kind of weird, oh, never mind. Maybe 312-981-7200, budding meteorologists that aren't us, or maybe we'll ask David Jennings if he knows a little bit later. But either way, the kind of the end of mental summer for all of us, kind of psychically, not psychically, but in our psyche, and we'll talk about that in a bit, is Labor Day, right? You know, after you get to Labor Day, then it's fall, and then this is one of those great weekends where you kind of have a good time, you enjoy yourself, you barbecue out, you spend time with your friends and your family, and then you're kind of into what is and feels like fall. You got the kids back at school, and then this is it on the sports side, and we'll be talking about it, is you've got the start of college football, you know, the beginning of the NFL season, and of course all that great high school football and all those sports that are starting up as well. So here's what we're going to do tonight. So we are going to touch on all of those things, including taking a walk on the I don't want to say the wild side, it's going to be the other side, with Jen Weigel. So she is going to be on. She is, of course, the host of I'm Spiritual, Damn It. It's one of the new great podcasts on WGN Plus. And of course, you know her from so many really cool projects and books and things that she's worked on. She's going to be joining us a little bit after the break at 11:15. And then we're going to talk college football. The kickoff is happening tomorrow. So many teams, so much is happening, and Dino Tiberi is going to be in studio to kind of break down that action. So we'll talk college football, and then Adam Rank is going to be on with us talking fantasy football from the NFL Network. The NFL is real, but so many people play along and enjoy the NFL on the fantasy football side, as long, you know, as well as their kind of you know, pools at work, or different confidence pools, you know, what is it? Elimination pools or survivor pools and all those. 312-981-7200. If you have any questions for fantasy football or any of the pools that are going on, or even kind of to share the way that you play along with the NFL, definitely text that in, 312-981-7200. And then we're going to talk some barbecue. So we'll talk a little bit about Labor Day weekend, what you guys do, and some suggestions from some barbecue stars. And we've got Heritage Barbecue coming up next week for Cushon. So Brady Lowe will be giving us a call as well. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be great. 312-981-7200. You can add in your thoughts if you ever had a paranormal experience. We would love to hear from that, because we're going to have those guys on, Jen Weigel and some of the people that are going to be part of her book and part of her project. She'll fill us in on all that probably for the next 35 or 40 minutes. So if you've ever had an experience, and this is the kind of thing, my mom is really into those shows. So she watches a lot of those ghost hunter shows where, at least for me at this point, it looks as though it's all kind of in a kind of a green light or a black light, and everyone, hey, did you see that? I didn't know if I saw that. And then you kind of, well, did I see something? Did I hear something? Well, we're going to hear and kind of delve into all of that stuff, you know, and I think people fall into different camps, whether it's they believe in it entirely, or they don't believe in it at all, or they sort of believe in it, but are a little bit, you know, kind of, I don't know, kind of sketchy as far as trying to get involved with it, right? Because that's when you invite it. So before we go to break, we are going to get this. We do have Ron. Are we going to be able to take Ron? Let's go. Yeah, let's take Ron really quick. And Ron, you got you can finally fill us in on the whole, well, like equinox and fall and when it starts and when it doesn't start. Ron, welcome to WGN.
Well, I will be real brief. According to Tom Skilling, which I've been listening for years, and by the way, I love the WGN radio app, the radio app, and also the weather app. I have it on my phone and tablet. Absolutely awesome apps.
Nice.
According to Tom Skilling, June 1st to September 1st is what they call meteorological summer, because they just round it off to the nearest month, the beginning of the month. And like hurricane season is from June 1st to November 1st. So that's the way it works meteorologically. And, you know, of course, Ramsey, another great meteorologist, also talks about that. So,
well, there you have it. Okay. Yeah. All right. So we're already.
By the way, really quickly, I was on hold. What are you talking about, the ghost? What is that? Are you going to talk about that tonight?
Yes, in about 15 minutes. I don't know if it's going
to. Awesome.
It may be a little bit of ghost, but also maybe psychic abilities, that whole kind of paranormal, being in touch with the other side thing. I'm excited to hear about it. And Jen Weigel's going to join us right after the break. .720 WGN, Dane Neal here in the Allstate Showcase studio, in for Patty Vasquez on the Pretty Late Show until 2 a.m. tomorrow. And as we get into the other side of the days, right, from between now and tomorrow, we're going to be talking about the other side in general. This is a topic that is, I think it's absolutely fascinating. It's a little bit mysterious, or maybe more than a little bit mysterious. And it's something that is super popular. The shows are very popular, the ones that dabble in it. But it's always got kind of this air of, you know, you want to hear from people who've experienced it themselves. And you always think to yourself, hey, if a friend of mine actually had an experience like that, and they came to me and said, hey, you know what, Dane, this is real, you'd have to believe it. People fall into different camps. I think whether you believe, you don't believe, or whether you've experienced it, I think you still are interested in the possibility for all those reasons, whether it's the ability to just experience either spirits from either other time periods or other places, right? You know, that may be, you know, occupying the same space as you, or whether it's even being in touch with family members, you know, and being able to have that connection with them. I think those experiences are always really, really compelling. On the line with us now, we have, you know, Jen Weigel. She is one of the city's top media personalities, a coach, author, part of one of Chicago's great media families, and of course the host of the brand new I'm Spiritual Damn It podcast here on WGN. Plus, it's Jen Weigel. Jen, welcome to WGN.
Hey, thanks for dipping into the woo-woo pond with me, man.
You know, it's a little bit scary. You've always heard, and my mom always said, and she absolutely loves, I don't want to say this stuff, but she loves this topic and kind of this arena of thinking. She always says the first step is, you know, showing that you're interested and being interested and kind of delving into the whole thing, sort of inviting it to, inviting yourself or opening yourself, right, to experience it. I don't know if that's true. Is that your experience, or was it kind of forced on you? Was it just something like,
no,
what's going on?
You know, this, I did not dip into this at all until my dad died 15 years ago. And when he died of a brain tumor at the age of 56, I was just scratching my head going, geez, you know, grief is really expensive. And for people who are stuck in grief, and anybody out there who's lost a loved one or watched someone die, you know what I'm talking about. It's really hard. And I, as a journalist, I set out, Dane, to just basically do research. Like, there are a lot of people taking people's money, and I thought all of them were fraud, because I'm a journalist and I want my sources to be something that I could touch, you know, call on the phone, preferably a landline, you know? And so for me, this was all crazy town. It was all crazy talk, you know, and I had, so when I worked at CBS, James Van Prague was the first person I interviewed in this space. And my father-in-law at the time, my former father-in-law, had just passed away, and his name was Richard. And this was before Google, and you couldn't Google any of this stuff. And he blurted out all this stuff that only the family knew that really freaked out my former mother-in-law, and I kind of was left scratching my head. So I document all this stuff, Dane, in my books, and I've spent the last 15 years interviewing people, and there are a lot of terrible frauds out there, but there are also some people that I think are wired a little bit differently. And, you know, I tell people, look, I'm not telling you what to believe, but I'm just documenting the stories and the interviews and the conversations, and then you can go ahead and decide for yourself what it is that you believe. I'm not going to try to force anything on anybody, but like your mom said, I mean, this has been going on since Plato.
Right.
This has been going on since 400 BC, this belief that we can, you know, even before then. I mean, the Egyptians were doing it. So it's like why is it suddenly stopped, or why is it suddenly voodoo? For thousands of years, people have thought that maybe there's some communication going on, and I just like to demystify it and keep asking questions and doing the research. So that's kind of where my head is these days.
Well, Jen, what would you say if you had to kind of give a percentage in there? And you always, you see either whether it's commercials or advertisements or things on the internet, and I think it's part of because, you know, people are so desperate to try to make that connection. You know, they just want to be able to have that connection. So, you know, they want to believe that that is possible. And like you said, in some places and situations, it really is. But as far as, you know, the whole, as kind of a, I don't know, disclaimer to the listeners, what percentage would you say of the ones that you've experienced are where you're like, hey, wait a minute. And which ones are just kind of getting the dollars from the people?
Well, here's the thing. I think we are all intuitive. Every single person could go ahead and put a sign out that says psychic, and they could sit at a beach and get people walking by and get like 3 out of 10 things right just by your own gut and your own intuition. And you could see someone sad or someone has a wedding ring or they don't. I mean, we're all good gauges of people. But I also think that some people are so intuitive and they're gifted in this realm. And I'm seeing this now more and more with kids. I'm telling you, Dane, when I came out with my first book, Stay Tuned, which chronicles my interviews when I was, you know, right after my dad died, so many people shared stories with me after that I had enough for a second book on Spiritual Dammit about their children seeing grandma so-and-so and knowing things they couldn't possibly know. Real people sharing stories with me, like firemen whispering and, you know, getting an angel whispering in their ear about turn left, turn right. You know, a businessman who's a CEO who makes all his decisions based on the colors and auras he sees around people. I think they're everywhere and people are afraid to talk about it. And that's why I'm kind of pulling back the curtain saying it's okay to talk about this stuff. There are more people out there than we know. But there are also, unfortunately, some people that are taking your money and they have that, you know, fluorescent sign out on Belmont or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, it's just, we all have it, though. That's the thing. If we all got quiet. And that's the other thing I like to try to teach people, as do the good people I interview. They say it's a great day if I'm out of business, because they want to teach others to do this, too. And that's why I don't go and do shows with anybody that I don't truly believe are gifted in some way and trying to help people heal their grief. And so out of all the people I've interviewed, you know, and there have been hundreds of people I have interviewed, you know, I'm not going on the road with anybody that I think, you know, boy, you know what.
Well, we're going to be talking with Michael and Echo Bodine. Is it Bodine or Bodine?
It's Bodine, yeah. And actually, Michael Bodine is going to be joining us on the phone. Echo's working. You know, these people are constantly working. But yes, I'm going to be doing a show with them in the Dells tomorrow night. If anybody's going to be, you know, wandering the Wisconsin Dells, they're going to be talking to the audience. They're a real life brother sister ghost busting team, and they've been doing this for decades, and they are fascinating. From Minnesota, I met them for my fourth book. I interviewed them, so they're really, really interesting people.
So we'll be talking and hearing about some of the things that they're doing a little bit later on in the program after the news. But Jen, as you interview people, we always think this mental picture of the psychic is either a person in front of a studio audience saying like, okay, and you, I'm getting something over there, or else you think of the, you know, the traditional lady with the babushka and the crystal ball. Is there a kind of a consistent or similar type of person or personality that seems to have this gift? Because you mentioned even kids, right?
Yeah, oh no, it's all over the map. I mean, I've seen the people with, like, you know, the dead chickens and the moo-moo and all that stuff and the fluorescent ball on the table. And then I've seen, like, Michael is hilarious. He's just, like, he looks like a rock star, you know, and every other word is a swear. So keep your hand by the dump button. I'm just warning you.
Oh, no.
No. No, I mean, like, in a good way. Like, he's just a hilarious, like, his book, Growing Up Psychic, I have never laughed so hard. He has such a sense of humor. And then there are people like Sylvia Brown, may she rest in peace. You know, she took herself very, very seriously. And in the end, I don't think she had the strongest gift. I think that sometimes people's ego gets in the way and it can affect the way that they deliver their work. But I do think there are some people out there, like I said, kids. Tyrer, the Hollywood medium, he's this sweet kid. Thomas John, the Manhattan medium, he's 32, openly gay, you know, just very, very different personalities. So it's sort of all over the map now. We can't say it's the same type anymore because they're everywhere.
If you've got an experience, 312-981-7200, or any questions that have to do with that kind of situation, like psychics out there, kind of, you know, those people, mediums that are trying to connect and many times doing it, connecting people here with the other side. You can go ahead and text in your questions or your input, 312-981-7200. The last question before we go to break is, what I was wondering is, in your experience, are these people, is it predominantly that they have been born with it? They always noticed something and maybe they kind of honed it a little bit later on? Or is there some kind of significant event that says, like, and then after that, you know, I was in touch with the other side? Is there kind of a theme with it?
Well, there's some people are born with it, and their earliest memory is seeing, you know, dead Grandpa Joe in the bedroom, right? And then Echo Bodine didn't have it happen until she was 17. She's a teenager minding, you know, her own business. And then suddenly all these weird things start happening in the house. But there are also people who've had near-death experiences where they're, you know, kind of shattered, their life is shattered, and they come back with what we would say are like spidey senses. So, you know, it's kind of bizarre. It's there's not one staple way, but I would say that children are born, you know, very, very intuitive. And if there's a parent out there that's discounting their kid's gifts by saying, oh, it's in your head, or oh, it's your imagination, you're doing your child a serious disservice, because a lot of these people that I have interviewed say that they thought something was wrong with them for so long until they finally saw that there's a section in Barnes & Noble for people like them. And I think that's what some of these shows are doing. As much as I'm annoyed by the Long Island medium with her shovel nails and, oh, my God, how you doing? Like, I think it's making this more mainstream so that kids aren't so afraid to talk about their intuition.
So the individuals and the situations kind of run the gamut, but the one constant is that it is happening. 312-981-7200. If you're on hold, definitely stay on hold and keep texting, and we're going to propose all those that input and those questions to Jen as we move forward. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it's going to be more. It's staying in for Patty on 720 WGN. WGN. It is Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase Studio, in for Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, and we will be here until 2 a.m. And the topic that we're talking about is one that has been going on, and Jen had mentioned it, since the beginning of time, where people have wanted to find out about either the other side, to legitimize it, or to connect with either relatives, or sometimes it's forced upon them, you know, in a situation where there are spirits living among us. And you just have to kind of deal with it. Is it real? Is it not real? There are so many people out there that say it is and that they have experienced it. And we've got Jen Weigel on the phone with us. Jen, welcome back to WGN.
Thanks for having me.
And so we've gotten a lot. And, of course, listeners, you can continue to text in and call in, 312-981-7200. We've got Mike who has a question. Mike, now you say that sometimes, you know, sense can, I guess, prove the presence of spirits.
Me? I thought you were talking to Jen. Yeah, I had a
experience. I'm not Mike. You're Mike.
Hi, Jen. Hello.
Hi.
I had olfactory experiences. I didn't know to call them olfactory experiences back then. A lot of deaths around me over a period of a few years. And when that olfactory experience began was right after a sweet 13-year-old girl passed of cancer. It was actually the night of the wake, and I walked out of the building. I was nowhere near the funeral, the wake, anything. Anyway, it lasted for 13 months, and within that 13 months, my mother also passed. So I'm asking you if you've looked into, you know, that part of it all, where some people see things, like you say, with the kids. Some people hear things, and a lot of times somebody hears things, they're going to be called schizophrenic.
Mike, there's all these clairs, as in my research, as I've discovered from all these different people with different gifts, there's clairaudience, which is what you hear, clairvoyance, what you see, clairgustance, which is what you're talking about with the smell and the tasting of things in your mouth. A clairsentient is when you sense something. Claircognizant is when you're thinking something. So there's this whole party of clairs where we can get this information, and our body is like antenna that are picking up on all of these senses. So you absolutely were experiencing something. And then as you know, from what I've understanding it anyway, from the people who talk to these spirits, because again, I don't talk to dead people. I just interview people who claim they talk to dead people. So let's just make that really clear. I do talk to my dead dad sometimes, and I will smell his pipe tobacco, Mike, because he smoked Captain Black tobacco, and he also smoked cigars. So every once in a while, if I'm thinking about him and then I get a whiff of that, I go, oh, there he is. And that's what I tell people also. But like you say, if there's someone hearing voices, and I think Michael Bodine would be good to talk to about this too. He does haunted house ghost bustings. And there are some dark energies in places that are just trying to mess with you and get rid of you. And then there are also our loved ones whispering good things in your ear, like, you know, take Lakeshore Drive instead of the Kennedy.
Right.
Which happens sometimes. So absolutely, I would say what you're experiencing is real.
All right, thanks, Mike.
I just wanted to say, I forgot to say that it was specifically roses. And
roses,
I forgot to say that. Yes. So, okay,
said
thank
sweet
you.
Sweet smell, so I knew it was something good. So that's a good one.
Right.
Good for you.
Okay. Thank you, Jen.
All right. Thanks, Mike. And Jen, we want to let you know, too, is 312-981-7200. People are calling in. And Greg, stay on hold. When we're going to get Michael Bodine on in just a second. So you're going to want to hear what he has to say and maybe add in. But also from the 312, tell Jennifer that they just finished reading her book. Stay tuned. Great. And they learned a lot. So thank you for writing it. And then 77.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Yeah, and 773, people want to hear you on again. And of course, there's still much more Jen to come, so stay tuned for all that we're going to have here. But this is a topic that is, I think it resonates with so many different people, and you are going to be in the middle of, you know, right there at the epicenter of it tomorrow with the Bodines, and we've got Michael on the line as well. Michael, welcome to WGN.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me.
So Jen, kind of set up exactly, you know, how you guys got together and why you're going to be out with them tomorrow in Wisconsin Dells.
I can't get enough of the Bodines at this point in my life. I was introduced to the Bodine family through my publisher, actually. And Michael has written a book called Growing Up Psychic, From Skeptic to Believer. Like I said earlier, Dean, I got through it so quickly. It's such a funny book. His sister, Echo Bodine, also wrote several books. And so I read the books. I went to Minnesota. I interviewed them. They have a sister, Nikki, who also has this gift. Their mother had the gift. Michael's children have the gift. So, you know, talk about running in family. It runs in their family. And so tomorrow night, we're going to be at the Dell Palace Theater. The Palace Theater. And I heard that commercial for Ishnala Supper Club. It's like right around the corner from Ishnala. So let's get Bob from Ishnala to come over to the Palace Theater. And I'm going to interview Michael and Echo on the stage, and then they're going to read the crowd, as many people as they can get through. So it's going to be a really fun evening, and I hope anyone in the listening area that could drive to the Dells, you don't want to miss this event.
Well, Michael, I wanted to ask you, and it's I think, a testament to the success that you've had, that Jen is excited and interested, and she's going to be a part of what you're doing tomorrow. But you've been doing it a number of years, obviously written books. Like, what is it that you get or experience, or the positive reason that you continue to do this? You've got this gift. Is there some kind of like urge to be able to share it and help people with it?
Well, for me, not exactly. I grew up in a house where it was there was ghosts and psychics and things were going on, and I didn't like it. I thought it was just a weird thing. And so I had a really hard time with it in the beginning. I was like the youngest of four kids, and we started having these weird experiences when I was like seven in the house. And at first I was just like, what the hell is all this stuff? And stuff kept happening and happening and happening. And we were like as normal of a family as you can possibly get. But stuff just kept happening. Finally my mom had to go and talk to somebody about it, and this is back in the 60s, and psychics, you know, were considered mental people back then, and so she didn't have a whole lot of people she could talk to, and she, you know, she went to the our minister, she went to psychologists, she went to everybody, and it's a bit of a long story, but it ended up to where she went to this old medium in St. Paul. We lived in Minneapolis part, and she went to St. Paul, and this lady told us, who told her and my sister, who went with her sister, my sister Echo, that our family was going to develop our stuff, our psychic stuff, and that it was going to be like what we were going to do, what our calling was. And I remember when my mom came home and there, when, you know, when my mom and my sister came home and told us about this, we all just thought she was nuts, because there was no way we wanted to get into this stuff. I didn't want to get into it. My sister just wanted to have kids and just bake cakes. And my mom was more into it than I thought. But anyway, she started really getting into it after that. And we started having all the old psychics that, you know, used to hang out under trees and rocks and basements and stuff started coming to our house because it was nice. And and so I grew up with psychics in the house, you know, people that were learning how to do stuff and, you know, just trying to figure their way. And I thought it sucked. I hated it. My friends would come home and there'd be like ghosts flying around and they'd see the ghost and they would, you know, they wouldn't know what to say. They were like, is that a ghost? You know, they wouldn't know what to do. Some of them would run out, you know, and some of them would just, they liked it and they would hang, but it was embarrassing. It was weird. And back then it wasn't something that you were supposed to talk about. Like, we were never supposed to mention it to anybody. But, you know, when you see a dead guy walking by you and you come over the house, you know, you got to say something. You can't say it's fog, you know, because people know there's no fog gas in the living room. So it started getting around what we were and who we were. And so the neighbors were all freaked out. But then they'd come over in the middle of the night and ask us about their uncle who just died or somebody that was about to die. And that's how I grew up. I just grew up with all this weird stuff. Whoa. And, you know, I went to football camp and baseball camp, and then I had to go to psychic camp because my mom, and like I said, they didn't have, like...
They have psychic camp?
Yeah, I'm telling you, do you see why I love these people, Dane? I mean, this is not your typical childhood, like, seriously.
No.
It was, yeah. No, and I thought I was being punished, but because there wasn't, like, psychics on every corner like there is now. You can't spit without hitting a psychic, but back then... Everybody was so underground, you know, that nobody wanted to talk about it. And so we had to go to these psychic camps, and you'd drive, and tons of them were in Wisconsin. The place is lousy with psychic camps when I was a kid. And and there was always this, like, these hobbit things, you know, you'd drive forever and it was always in the woods and people were always around these campfires and they all had different themes. You know, some of them were like about past lives or reincarnation or somewhere about mediums and medium wells and, you know, whatever you want to talk about. Some of them were about, like, really weird things like vampires and fairies and, you know, it was just, I used to hate it when my mom would go, okay, get in the car. Because I was the youngest. I didn't have a choice, you know. I couldn't, like punch her and say, no, Mom, I'm staying home.
It's one thing to experience it as a child, try to make sense of it, right? And then the other, your contemporaries, you know, whether they're from the neighborhood or the community, come up and then they kind of make sense of it, right? That this is what it is that you're going through. It's another thing to take it and then have a concerted effort, whether it's through the books and outreach or through presentations like what you're going to do at the Dells Palace Theater coming up tomorrow. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into some of those things, the presentation, what people can experience when they see you and Echo Live. We've got Jen Weigel on the line with us along with Michael Bodine. It's Dane in for Patty on 720 WGN. It is Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase Studio here on Michigan Avenue. And so many people here within the listening audience have experienced or watched the programs or been interested in kind of the paranormal and the and psychic abilities and wanted to know whether it's true or not true. We're excited to have Jen Weigel on the line. She has done so much within that, in and around it, and interviewed hundreds of people and had her own experiences as well. And then also on the line, she'll be with him up in the Wisconsin Dells at the Dells Palace Theater. Tomorrow we have Michael Bodine on with us as well. And Greg has been waiting a long time. Thanks for waiting, Greg. Now, Greg, you said that you've actually experienced it. You live in a haunted house.
Yeah. And my freshman year, first off, great, you know, having you on, Dane and Jen. I loved your dad. He brought so much joy to people. And but anyway, freshman year of high school, we moved into a farmhouse in Oakbrook and always had a sense of something. But one time I'm listening with headphones on to a record, and I felt something sit next to me, and we had a dog, and I thought it was just a dog that jumped up on the bed. And I looked over, no dog, and the bed had an indentation in the bed. That was my personal experience with that, but my mother experienced so much stuff. And the first year and a half we were there, there wasn't too much. But when we moved out, it seemed like whatever was there was not happy that we were moving out, because the last night, through a temper tantrum or something, we had these fluorescent bulbs that were in rafters that were like the 3 foot long ones. They were like thrown against the far wall. Whoa. You know, I mean, it was just really, we would, you know, we had a fireplace and the fire would shoot out into the living room. I'm not joking with any of this stuff. And it was about a 100-year-old house. It was actually the farmhouse that overlooked like the Oak Brook Mall in Oak Brook.
Well, Greg,
and
go ahead and finish. Right. We're going to have to like let you go and let Michael respond to it because of the phone system. We can't keep everybody on. But were you scared? You had to be scared, right?
Yeah, it was a little weird. But you know, my mom, kind of growing up, she kind of felt like she had that sense about her. And I think, you know, just growing up with her, she kind of like instilled that in me or talked to me about it. And it wasn't that scary, I guess. It was just more like, okay, you kind of have a little bit of a gift, not a huge gift with this, but you kind of have a sense of that. And you just kind of, you know, learn to accept it, I guess, and deal with it the best you can. I by no means claim to have any kind of like major psychic power, but I think I'm one of those people that kind of have a sense of that.
Well, you certainly experience it, Greg. Thanks for listening and thanks for being on WGN tonight. So Michael, is that something too where you have these spirits or I guess animals or whatever those experiences that happen where it seems to be kind of rooted in one location as opposed to just, you know, within the people or just kind of out there in the universe, right? It happens to be kind of located in one place.
Yeah, that sounds like a Tuesday at our house.
I could just see it. Michael has people over, like his friends over from school. It's like, don't get too close to the fireplace because the flames shoot out.
I mean, Michael gets these house calls where he's got to go and, you know, oh, there's a kid eating meat out of the refrigerator. It might be possessed.
Yeah.
Okay, let me get in the car and go. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah, I do a lot of possession stuff. Possessions sound a lot weirder than you think, but they're just ghosts inside of people. So it's not, it's just more dramatic. You know, you get there and people are in the fetal position, naked, going, ah, you know, stuff like that. I know people have experiences. It's funny to me that people go, is there really ghosts? Shut up. Yes, there are. I can't tell you how many people and how many experiences, and there's pictures and there's movies and they got DNA and they got everything about it. I saw this article about Bill Nye. He was, and I like Bill Nye, and he was saying, well, there's no real solid proof. I mean, you can get proof everywhere. It's like there's so many people learning about psychic stuff these days, and that there's so many people opening up, that there's more and more stuff happening, and so more and more spirits are showing up. And so I know people are skeptical. I get that. I was skeptical, but I was an idiot. I mean, I would reach for something in the cupboard and it would slide out in my hand, and I'd go, oh, well, that makes sense. I'd walk it down the hall and somebody would tap me on the shoulder. I'd turn around and there'll be there, and I'm thinking, that's weird. Or lights would go on and off, or cheese would slide across the table. And it just wouldn't happen to me, and it wouldn't just happen during the day or night. It would happen all the time.
Well, at least it's something delicious like cheese, right? This
exactly.
Somebody's working for you. Well, this is the way, you know, as far as being able to believe it and getting kind of that firsthand experience, people are going to be doing that with you when they see you in person. And Jen is going to be with you as well as your sister Echo up at the Dells Palace Theater. So, guys, in the last couple minutes that we've got, let's talk about what how people can either, like, you know, tap in, experience, if that's even possible, can get up there tomorrow, or I'll see you in some future kind of presentations or appearances that you guys may be doing. And for those that are going to be there that are listening, what are they going to experience?
Well, if they can't make it to the Dells tomorrow night, Michael is coming to join me at the Wilmette Theater September 16th, which is for my Conversations with Weigel series up there. So that's, you know, you can find out all about that on my website, jenweigel.com. And you can, you know, get tickets for that. But tomorrow night, specifically at the Dells, we'll have Michael and Echo sharing stories of their ghost bus, their gift, you know, which is going to be amazing. Well, I mean, from bleeding walls to throwing cats, you name it, it's happened to them. And also, you know, how to develop your own intuition. They're going to talk a little bit about that, how their gifts work. And then we're going to have, it's sort of like a bingo thing where we're literally going to pull out numbers of people in the seats. So it's totally random, Dane. And people are going to come up on the stage, and Michael is going to give it to you good because he likes to not hold back, as you can tell through this conversation. So
he'll give you the straight psychic story. Obviously, there's no filter there, right? Because you know, he has such a, I think, such a healthy and kind of enthusiastic kind of, you know, perspective on the whole thing that we've talked about that can be either scary or mysterious. There's nothing scary or mysterious about Michael. So, Michael, for you guys, people want to catch up with you on social media. They want to follow you, keep up with all your adventures. Do you have a website or any
I
of that
do, stuff? But you know what? I forgot to pay the damn thing. So my son has to pay it. But, yeah, normally it's just it's like michaelboudin.com, and then you can go to it. But I didn't pay those guys, so I got to pay. I wish my dead guys would do that. It would make it so much easier. But
you got to put those guys to work. All right, Jen. So it's jenweigel.com for the information on the appearances and all the things that are going into this, what is going to be the fourth book that is coming up from you guys. And Michael, thanks so much for taking time out. And good luck to,
really, I appreciate it.
To you and Echo. And thanks for being on WGN tonight, guys.
No, thanks for having us. And, you know, keep looking for those signs, Dane. They're everywhere, okay?
We'll look for them during the news break.
Perfect.
Well done. Yeah. I'll move some cheeses or something. 720 WGN. It is Dane Neal here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in for Patty. And pretty late until 2 a.m. as we kick off our Labor Day weekend. And talked about it at the beginning of the show, Labor Day means so many things. You know, it is kind of the dying of the summer from I think the traditional perspective. We always feel like, hey, you know, you can't wear your white shoes, Cousin Eddie, until I guess the next time that it is summertime. And then also there's a rebirth, right? You know, it's the, you know, one door closes, another door opens. Hey, and then maybe a door to the other side. We did have Alan on. We wanted to get him on for one quick second to share. He was holding quite a bit, his ghost story. Alan, welcome to WGN.
Well, thank you very much. I had what appeared to be a paranormal experience. My father had passed away, and my parents were living in California, and so we moved my mother here. And shortly after we moved my mother here, and I had disconnected the phone in California, I started getting calls on my phone from my parents' phone that had been disconnected. And I'd pick it up, and there was no answer. I checked, the phone was still disconnected, but I kept getting calls. And
now, how did you know you were getting calls from, I mean, did you have caller ID at the time? Is that how you could tell?
It was caller ID.
Whoa.
And sometimes during a meal, it would happen 3-4 times. So one day, I just decided to get up. I walked upstairs, and I started talking to my father, and I simply said, Dad, Mom's here. She's okay, and we're taking good care of her, and you don't have to worry about her. The calls stopped after that.
Whoa.
A quick conversation with your father, and that's it. Wow.
Yeah, and so that I've never believed in anything paranormal, really. Until then, and then I said, that was spooky. But wow. That's what happened. The phone was ringing for weeks.
That is crazy. Now, did you call up because, you know, a person that maybe didn't, at least initially, right, you said it happened over a period of time, you know, they would call the phone company and say, is this possible, or here's this number. What's crazy about it, obviously, is that number is significant to you, right? That's their number. And
right.
So did you call the phone company and say, hey, I'm getting calls from this? Is there anything in the realm of normal reality that could make that happen?
No, I never did, but I did call the phone, and, of course, I got the disconnected. The phone had been disconnected. And so I know it was not a live number, and yet my phone would be sitting there next to me on the kitchen table, and all of a sudden it would start ringing, and it was that number, the caller ID.
Wow. Alan, thanks so much for sharing, and thanks for being on WGN tonight. That is, wow, that's a little bit, I don't know if it's scary, right? It's almost kind of comforting that your parents are still there kind of hanging out and wanting to communicate in some ways or make sure that the other parent, other family member is doing well. 312-981-7200. Throughout the course of the program, it's powerful stuff. Jen Weigel, of course, was on with us a little bit earlier. She's going to be up in the Wisconsin Dells. But if you have, and we've had a number, we haven't been able to get to everyone, but we will as far as the texts. And if you want to call in with your own personal story, you can definitely do that. 312-981-7200. We'll try to check in on those throughout the course of the program. And our producer, Elif, where the conversation happens and you think to yourself, you know, you've never shared this before, but you have your own experience.
Yeah, I haven't actually told anybody about this. Only my mom, my cousin, and people in my family really know.
They're people that they count.
Yeah, so nobody outside my family who knew him. So my grandpa passed away about 6 years ago, 6-7 years ago. And a lot of the time when we're talking about him, Argentinian music will start playing. And he loved Argentinian. He loved tango. And he always used to play it on his violin. And
so what do you mean it would start playing? So you would just hear it off in the distance, or would just a radio be like Radio Argentina would like somehow tune itself in? Because it's not, it isn't a very, I don't think it's a very common like form of music, right? To just be on. If you said Taylor Swift was playing all the time, I'd be like, well, it just is.
Well, specifically, it would come up on Spotify. So we usually use Spotify at my mom's house, and we were listening to it one day, and all of a sudden it switched over to Argentinian music, and he always wanted to go to Argentina, but that was his one wish, and he never got to go.
Wow.
That's strange.
Yeah.
It sounds, I mean, you're not saying that Elif is strange.
No, I'm saying just odd, you know, it's just something that's, the coincidence of that, you know. The fact that that's the kind of music that they liked, and it all of a sudden just comes
in. You know, and LF2 on the Spotify, right? It was just like random playlists. Right. So it would just play whatever.
Yeah, it was the radio.
It wasn't the Argentinian channel, was it?
No, of course not.
I don't want to debunk it, but.
No.
Okay, wow. That's interesting. Thanks, LF. So Dino, Dino Tiberi in studio with us. He is a Cub fan. He is a Bud man, the preeminent channeler. From the psychic perspective, right, he is at one with Harry Carey while he resides with a cold Falstaff on the other side. And so, Dino, have you had any kind of paranormal experience?
I haven't personally. I know people that really are into it and think that.
You look at you the way that you're saying things.
No, I'm just saying.
And allege that.
Well, you know, I have a friend who her father passed away a few years back, and he was loved Cardinals, like the bird.
The actual bird?
The actual bird, not the St. Louis Cardinals.
The evil team.
Right, no. The actual Cardinals. So, you know, at times you would look out the window and there would be a Cardinal, and she would always say, yeah, there's my father looking in on me.
Okay. So, and the Cardinal is not a bird that you see every day.
I didn't buy into it at first because it seemed a little, you know, like far-fetched. I'm thinking, it's a coincidence that he's here. But right. Then every time you looked up, there was a Cardinal. You know, it happened to be the state bird of Illinois, which helps.
So he was out there in an official capacity representing the state.
But the fact that he was looking in on her, it just seemed like appropriate, which was, you know, I didn't buy into it at first, but then I did because every time I looked out the window, I could almost swear there was a Cardinal in a tree right outside of our window.
A little bit later, after maybe 1 a.m., we are going to talk some baseball. Hopefully we'll be able to wrangle up maybe a West Coast media person or a San Francisco person that can kind of share that thought process. I guess the disappointment of losing, you know, as they're doing, and then of course the, you know, looking forward into the future in a psychic way to the hopeful potential disappointment of losing in the playoffs to the mighty Cub. And so look for that maybe a little bit after 1 o'clock. We're going to be talking some serious football from and some kind of humorous football after this next break. But Dino, before we go to that break, you know, if you had to channel Harry Carey, you know, what would he be saying about this? And as he looks down from and looks down over his large goggles and his always full and chilled beer.
Well, if we're talking about what he would be saying about this year's team, I think he'd be pretty excited about it. But specifically about the series with the Giants right now.
Spell champion backward, it's Cubs.
Let me raise my Budweiser and we'll. But no, I think he'd be really excited if he was covering this
Maybe
team.
Maybe too excited.
Yeah, almost to. I think it. You know, nothing. You know, the announcers that the Cubs have now are great. Harry was, you know, he was so over the top at times. I think, yeah, it would have been a thought. How do you keep it in?
And he's the kind of guy, whether they liked it or not, you know, from the management perspective, you know, he told it like it was, and he would be critical if there was something.
Right.
To be
if some guy made an error, you know, he would say, "How does a guy make an error on a ball like that? A little leaguer could have made that play."
Right. You know? Right. Openly and maybe realistically critical of certain situations on the field. But there's not a lot that you can say on the negative side for a team that has just gone 40 games over 500. That's
off the hook.
That's total fiction. If you would have written a book about, hey, the Cubs are going to win the World Series.
Yeah, 40. They're 40 over. Yeah, right. What dream are you in?
It just doesn't even seem possible. Like, he probably would have been, I don't know, but I would have loved to hear him talking about, because, right, there's nothing to complain about.
Right, absolutely. There really isn't. And you know, he would have had a hard time, you know, trying to be critical. You know, there's plays here and there that he would have mentioned something about. But, you know, overall, the grand scheme of things, all the right buttons are being pushed by Joe Maddon right now. He's done a fine job juggling all of the talent. I mean, we were talking about the other night. I was at the ball game on Wednesday, and my friend Bill and I were discussing, this team has so much talent on it. Even when guys are taking a day off, sometimes the lineup's even more strong than it is when they're in there. So it's just been amazing all season long how well the team has meshed together, how well Madden's hit all the right buttons, and the guys are just all on the same page right now from top to bottom. So it's been really something to watch.
Well, it's going to be something to watch. And here, as we talk a little bit of baseball, Cubs, maybe the potential of what may happen in the playoffs a little bit after the next hour, maybe 1 o'clock, but you know, it's that time of year where you've got the hope for what can happen in the fall with the Cubs, and you've got the start as seasons begin anew for all those college football teams, and of course all the NFL fans that maybe aren't Bears fans, right? Because you know the Bears, they don't have what would I think look to be promising, but you never know, right? That's why you got to play the game.
Yeah, it's gonna be. I don't know. I'm trying to be as optimistic as I can, but it's, you know, if they're gonna base it on what you've seen in the preseason. Not so much, but you can't base it on that because guys aren't playing. They're playing half a game. They're playing a quarter. You just don't know what's going to happen until you start doing it for real. And who knows? I mean, I thought 6-7 wins would be a good, you know, a good number for them. But, you know, there's some things that may come together and you never know. But right now, it's just they're still a work in progress.
And Adam Rank from the NFL Network is going to be joining us at 12:35. So stay tuned for that. And 312-981-7200. You can text in, call in your questions related to football, to fantasy football. We're going to go deep into those things. When we come back, we'll talk more football. But before that, we're going to go to a break, and we come right back after that. This is Labor Day weekend, and barbecue is going to be happening. And coming to Chicago, one of my absolute favorite events in the entire world, is going to be at the Lowe's Hotel. I almost said Lowe's Theater, but it's the Lowe's Hotel. It kind of, we are in the shadow of that hotel. So when we come back, we're going to talk with Brady Lowe, no relation, about Heritage Barbecue, Cochon Heritage Barbecue coming up. He'll be able to fill us in on that as we get closer to that. It's Dane in 720 WGN. It is Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase studio here on Michigan Avenue until 2 a.m. And this is one of those weekends where I think the world starts to kind of focus on barbecue. And not that they're not focused the entire summer, but it is one of those weekends where the attention is heightened, right?
Yeah, it's time. Get the grill out. You know, the last hurrah. The weather's going to start turning soon, and get your family together and have a nice barbecue over the weekend. Why not?
While you're thinking about it, you can do that at home, have a nice barbecue at home this weekend, and it'll just be a primer for the real thing, for the world-class barbecue situation that happens and comes to Chicago once a year. It is one of my absolute favorite events. The Cochon events, Cochon 555 and Cochon Heritage Barbecue, are I'm saying like the best bar none barbecue events that happen all around the country. If you ever see a ticket available, you ever see that name on a marquee, if you ever see it on a website, you want to get in there, you want to duck in, and they'll be coming next weekend here to Chicago over at the Lowe's Hotel. And the man behind it all, who started it and brings it on a consistent basis, is on the line. It is the founder himself, Brady Lowe. Brady, welcome to WGN.
Thank you, Dane. How are you?
I am doing well. I think the whole city is doing well, but that's only because we're just buoyed by the anticipation of Heritage Barbecue coming.
I'm excited. It's going to be an amazing week. This kicks off our four-city tour, and right after Chicago on 9/11, we're going to head to Atlanta, San Francisco, and Austin. So, I mean, those are four amazing cities that I just can't wait to get on the road.
You have done these at really cool venues around the city of Chicago, but I was excited to see the partnership that you have with Lowe's Hotel. And I mentioned it earlier that Trib Tower, we're kind of in the shadow of it. It is directly to our east, and it is a beautiful facility. So talk a little bit about having, you know, one of your signature events right there at the Lowe's.
Yeah, we got really really fortunate to work with the Lowe's Hotel. I mean, it's a great property. Not just that it's my last name, but
there's that coincidence too. But
yeah, so it's you know, it's amazing. Like, we got a rooftop situation. I mean, we come in earlier this year when we did Cochon Voyage 5, and you know, we go inside. It's a ballroom. It's beautiful, newer hotel, and now we're outside on that big grass area. We've got grills, we've got 20 different chefs cooking, whole animal, whole pig, sweetbreads and spare ribs is a new thing with John Mannion. So we've got this really great kind of feel for kind of taking barbecue outside, and the Lowe's is a beautiful host for it. So we're just really stoked. You know, Corey Morris is over there with Rural Society, which is Argentine Steakhouse, which if you're looking for Argentine barbecue, that's the spot to go.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. And it is barbecue and the, you know, all the things that you know and love about it. But like you said, you're pushing the envelope in a bunch of different ways and then bringing some different styles. So there's that whole educational aspect to it with the global side. So let's talk about, you know, a handful of chefs that are competing. Obviously, there's always a friendly competition that goes with it. So talk about, you know, who's going to be there and then some of the cool flavors people are going to enjoy.
Awesome. Yeah. So we, as with Cochon Voyage 5, I mean, it's a tour and event dedicated to the awareness about heritage breed pigs. Heritage breed pigs, synonymous with flavor, lots of fat, lots of coverage, lots of instrumental flavor, grills up perfect, cooks perfect, just an amazing product to work with. So all these chefs get to work with a whole heritage breed pig from a local farm. We got Chris Pandel from Swift & Sons. Everybody knows him. Andres Padilla from Topolobampo, who runs it for Big Rick Bayless. Frank Valdez over at Broken English Taco Pub. Juan Kim of Kimski. I mean, that's like, he's a mashup between Korean and Polish. And then Ashley Aubin over at Solera, which is Spanish. So you got Frank Valdez, which is doing kind of a taqueria kick. You know, Andres Padilla is going to be following Rick Bayless. Armitage, and then Pendel is going to go like gastro Americana and bring all of his background into it. So these chefs kind of bring everything from all different corners of the world. And then John Mannion is going to bring it with Clandestina and Jonathan Meyer from Broken Shaker. We got Cures. We've got just a handful of amazing chefs who are all going to cook from different points in the globe. So just the idea about the event is, how do you take something from Korea, from Cuba, from Hawaii, and barbacoa from Mexico, and spare ribs from Kansas City, and turn it all into this global barbecue event? And that's what it's all about.
And then those other chefs, too, that are each going to be cooking a tradition. Got to ask, because of the amazing phone system in my headphones here. Like, Brady, are you in a pigsty right now? Are you?
We kept hearing the noise in the background.
That's my daughter Nugget. We have a baby pig, and she,
oh, no kidding.
She wants to be on air.
That's awesome. So here he is. Now, if you ever thought that this was just, you know, because everybody loves barbecue and Brady is out there doing the event, he is walking the walk. and he has brought an actual pig on the air with us as well. I think that's amazing. Any chance we may be seeing Nugget at one of the events, or is she got the amnesty program going?
Nugget's a little high class. She only flies first class, so it's a little hard to get her to go coach with us.
If I was her, and I would say, like, hey, Brady, I'll hold down the fort at home. Yeah, I don't know if it's a safe place for her to travel with you at some of those events. You may have a chef that,
here's what we're cooking today.
Yeah, we don't want that.
Yeah, in her world, there's no 3-second rule. It's mine.
So, Brady, before we let you go, give information as far as the website and how people can get in on next weekend and enjoy all of those things. And I know you've got a couple other events involved as well for the weekend.
Yeah, for sure. So we got we do two charity dinners, Friday and Saturday night. So Friday night, we're like, both dinners are like 25 people. We're at two restaurants with a group of chefs. And then Saturday night, we're at Rural Society with Corey and a group of chefs. And they're both like $80, $90 dinners, Faust wines, tomahawk chops, I mean, just beautiful stuff. So those are two dinners. And then we got Sunday, we got the main event. That's at Lowe's. The website is Cochon555. That's spelled CochoN555.com. Tickets are available. You start at $100 for about 3 hours of all you can eat and drink, all inclusive. You're going to get endless amounts of wine, Silver Oak, Faust, $80 bottles of wine. You're going to drink 1942 Don Julio as much as you want, champagne. It's really a first-class affair. And then paired off with all these great chefs cooking barbecue from around the world. It's educational. It feels good. And it's local, you know.
And it's going to taste good.
You see, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste, right? So if you can build in some education to all of that, awesome. And then, of course, the unlimited, Don Julio fountain, which goes along with it. And that is something I'm glad you brought it up, because you want to mention as well. You know, you get caught up into a lot of the culinary stuff that happens, but amazing spirits, great wines, and a great time. I mean, it is a fantastic event. And of course, WGN listeners, stay tuned next week. We're going to have a few feature interviews with some of the participants as well as we get closer to this year's Heritage Barbecue. So thanks, Brady, for sharing, and we'll see you next week, and we'll talk to you next week as well.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Dane. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on, and we look forward to seeing you next week.
All right. We appreciate Brady. See, that's great.
Absolutely.
And, you know, if you ever thought that he wasn't completely walking the walk, he has an actual pig with him
on the air.
Because you heard that, right?
Yeah. I looked at you. I'm like, there sounds like there's a pig in the background.
My first thought was that, like, hey, maybe he burped or something. And then it was very, like, signature pig noises. So I was like, okay.
Yeah, he's got to have one. Bring a lot of authenticity to the discussion right there.
All right. So when we come back, we're going to have Adam Rank from NFL.com, and we're going to talk about all things fantasy football, the kickoff of the NFL season, the ways that people enjoy, quote unquote, playing along with the NFL. Dino, you're in a number of different pools, right?
Sure. I'm in fantasy football leagues, the confidence pools, all kinds of stuff. I've been in and out of things over the course of a lot of years, so it's... I'm looking
confidence
forward to talking
pool,
to
survivor
yep.
pool,
all of it.
Fantasy football. We're going to talk all that stuff, and you can text in or call in with your thoughts, any questions that you got for Adam Rank. He is one of the leaders in that field, or even just like what it is that you guys do either at your work. I know that Esther came on. We're in like five different pools.
Get your wallet out.
312-981-7200 to go ahead and text in or call in. A quick break, and we'll be back. It's Dane in for Patty on 720 WGN. You know, I'm pretty sure this is the new Buccaneer fight song. I'm just kidding. We've got Elif in the booth today. 720 WGN, Daniel in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. And thanks to David Jennings, the master of the dramatic pause. We were all like, oh, no, what's going on? you know, I think the sports world collectively is having a kind of dramatic pause as they kind of just collect themselves and get ready for what is going to be an exciting, as always, right? NFL season, win, lose, draw, whatever happens with your team, you know, you can go out there and enjoy it. And through things like whether it's your local football pool, the confidence pool,
sure,
the survivor pool, or fantasy football, people are able to get over what will be probably a soul-crushing and disappointing Bears season by taking players from other teams and making your own team in the world of fantasy football. On the line with us, we've got a guy that that we enjoy very, very much, one of the best in the business, has his hand on the pulse of all things fantasy football from the NFL Network. It is Adam Rank. Adam, welcome to WGN.
Well, thank you very much for having me once again. Always a pleasure to be on. However, I feel I'm a little off that we're going to start off under bad pretenses that you think that this is going to be a soul-crushing season for the Bears. They're winning 10 games. I'm sorry to give you the spoiler alert.
Nice.
Winning 10 games, going to the playoffs, and that's it. That's it. I'm dropping the mic. See you guys.
Adam, no. I love that you would say that, and I know that so many in the listening audience also love that, because we spent probably the first 45 minutes of the program talking about psychics and being in touch with the other side, and if any of that holds true, and you have your magical NFL Network crystal ball out, and that is the future you see, I'm sure Bear fans will be excited.
That is, I agree. I understand why people are a little bit down, but man, the NFL changes so quickly, and I think last season, I mean, let's be perfectly truthful. Last season went probably a little bit better than people had anticipated. There were a couple of wins that were left on the table, that the ridiculous Golden Tate non-interception game, Jeremy Langford dropping that ball against the Vikings. And you start thinking, like, because if they went to the bye, because the bye week was I think that Golden Tate game was before the bye week, to where if they go to the bye week, and I almost said we, but I've been doing better about stopping that. If we forget it, I don't care. I'm in Chicago right now. Calling Chicago, whatever. If you win that game, you have a little bit of a different psyche, and you know, things might turn out different. But anyways, I think that overall there were some positive signs. Beating the Packers on Brett Favre night, probably the highlight.
And, that was a great game. There's no question about that.
That's almost up there with Super Bowl 20 for me. If I could make it one thing, like, yeah, that's it. That's it. They're good. What do you know? Super Bowl 20 and beating the Packers on Favre night.
Well, but Adam, isn't there any compassion for the obviously very frail but always legendary Bart Starr, who was there on the field?
Yeah, I was really torn. I mean, yeah, of course. You love seeing legends like that on the field, and then you see Aaron Rodgers and it makes you sick again. You're like, okay, I'm over this one. He just ruined it for me. Like, I didn't realize that his brother Jordan was going to be the hero that we were all waiting for when he showed up on The Bachelorette. I was ready to hate him.
No, he was the hero that one lady liked, that's for sure.
Adam, did you watch that? I was forced. My wife watched it, and they actually
were forced.
Well, there was like a
go read. You couldn't do anything else. No. You pull out the iPad or whatever you're doing. You were forced to watch it.
They hid the room.
You watched it. You
loved it. Just admit it. Just admit it.
My wife was in, and this kind of ties into the current topic, but she was in a pool. Like, her office mercilessly had some kind of a bachelorette pool, which she did win. She won $60, you know, so congratulations. But we had to sit through the whole time I'm just like, no one would do that. No one would act like that. But there you go. And I was wondering, you know, that whole, you know, where's the relationship? Why can't they get together? That was the relationship I wanted to see, was the Jordan Aaron relationship.
Yeah, good luck on that one.
I think the producers wanted that too. they were really, when they did the at home and they had the two empty spots, not only did they have Aaron's empty spot, they had one for Olivia Munn. Like, okay, we're really going overboard.
And it was kind of cheesy. They had like the monogrammed place card at the table. You know, they had Aaron's stuffed animal, his favorite, you know, cup and plate right there.
A black and white photo of him on the table
that they kept panning amazing. Back. Right, at the photos over the mantle. You know, something's missing.
Someone's missing.
Well, you know what? They're, as far as for people's fantasy football teams, they're hoping that there's no one missing as they try to put together a championship season. What's so cool is that not only are you, you know, in and around all of this stuff, you know, living and breathing it, but you actually did a draft tonight.
Bro, I'm doing a draft right now as we're talking. This thing has gone on forever. Like, it seemed like a great idea to be like, yeah, we'll do 16 teams. And I'm
whole,
like,
16 teams?
Like 2.5 hours. We're lunatics.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's the most I've heard of in a while. 16. I thought 12 was a lot.
This is Adam Rank, Dino.
I know. He's only going to do it big, or he's not going to do it at all.
You got to go a little bit deeper. When you're starting to look at your queue and you see Wendell Smallwood sitting there, and you're like, that's sick right now. He might get some work in.
You're the last player drafted on the 16th team.
Wendell Smallwood.
Yeah. So for those people, now I've done all the other different kind of pools. Dino has done a number of different. He was at the Cubs game, you know.
Yeah,
doing
I was
it.
The other night. This is me multitasking. I'm sitting in the first row right outside of the Pirate bullpen. And of course, they have to have a draft the night that I'm in a great seat watching a ball game. So here I am on my Yahoo, and I'm bouncing around trying to
Wendell Smallwood.
Yeah, trying to find a sleeper somewhere. And I'm at the mercy of whatever's on my phone. That's all I had to look at the time. I didn't get a chance to look at anybody's rankings or anything. I'm just going off of – luckily, I'd done one before that, so I was already in tune with what was going on. But, you know, that's the type of stuff when you're in fantasy football. Now with all the technology – you can do it wherever you're at. You don't have to be sitting in a room with 10 other guys, you know, deciding who you're going to pick or if a Wendell Smallwood's available, if you're drafting him or not. You know, you're able to do it pretty much anywhere, and you know, that's what it's all about. And, you know, I love it. I've been doing it for one league I've been in for 26 years, so it's been
nice,
fantastic. Yeah, and that's that one's an odd one because it's an auction, and we actually have done individual defensive players from the beginning.
Oh, geez.
Which really seems like, you know, it's catching on now. Like some leagues are doing it. Years ago, it was just offense only. But we, right from the beginning, we did both. And it's a 5.5 hour process. It's unbelievable. But it's a great time.
So, Adam, as you hear some of the kind of the things that are going on, the traditional, the different ways, explain to the listeners, for those people that are not familiar with it, like what are some of the most common ways that people can participate and maybe a tip or two before we go to break?
Well, you know, there's a wide variety of leagues, and a number of them host sites. Of course, NFL.com is the platform that we use. And we do offer just regular picks pools, survivor pools, and regular fantasy football. And basically, it's a math game is what it is trying to figure out, you know, which player can score the most points and everything like that. And everybody can draft a player, and their statistics translate into points for you. And so it's really easy to get involved. You go to NFL.com, you can sign up right now. You can join a league with a bunch of random people, even if you want to. You don't be intimidated if you can't get 10 or 11 buddies together to go do this. You can join a league like that. And it's cool. You know, and again, like you were saying at the top, like if your team isn't very good, you can always keep an interest. Like, if you're in Minnesota now and you've got nothing better to do this winter, like, you should just go play fantasy football, because then that'll keep you entertained as Sean Hill's throwing pick after pick.
Before we go to the break, and of course, let the listeners know we're talking with NFL Network's Adam Rank. He is has his hand on the pulse of all things fantasy football. But I was excited to hear that that you guys have some of those kind of the easier, you know, people going to stick their big toe into the whole football, you know, pool water, that you do have the confidence pool and the survivor pool right there at NFL.com.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. They really embraced that over the last couple of years, realizing like people enjoy this stuff and they do it and they want to have a good time. And, you know, it's so funny just having one of my neighbors always tells me, like, she's always amazed, like, oh my gosh, everybody at my work's talking fantasy football. You're like, yeah, like people are really enjoying it. And I know living out in Southern California for the past 20 years without a football team, the main reason that people out here even follow this sport was because of fantasy. So it's really great to get people involved and watch and know the individual personalities. And so I think it's been a cool thing.
Well, we're going to take a break now. When we come back, we're going to have Adam Rank with us. He's going to give us maybe his thought process on some of the players that Wendell Smallwood, right? We've already kind of let that cat out of the bag.
Some sleeper that's beyond the realm of possibility.
Yeah, some of the players or some of the thought process when it comes to kind of assembling that team. And I definitely want to get his thought. Of course, you know, longtime Bears fan, obviously, but out there in Los Angeles as the Rams make it back. So just kind of taking the, you know, kind of the temperature of football fans in the LA area as the Rams come back to town. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have more. It's Dane in for Patty on 720 WGN. WGN, Dane Neal, Allstate Showcase Studio here on Michigan Avenue, where, you know, it's a little bit, you got a little bit of the fall weather, you kind of have a little bit of that kind of inkling of the things to come, great fall days with some great football action coming up, and the guy that's got his hand on the pulse of so much of it and is in the front office of 16 teams, fantasy teams, as we speak, is on the line. It's the NFL Network's Adam Rank. Adam, welcome back.
Thank you so much. I'm getting ready to close out this draft. I think Paxton Lynch is going to be my final pick. I don't want to tip it.
Now, is this a keeper league, or is it going to be just the seasonal
league?
No,
this is a seasonal league. This is what it's come down to. I wanted to do 16 teams, and I wanted to do you have to start two quarterbacks.
Oh, wow.
So every quarterback would be taken. But then there would be bye weeks, and there would be like, oh, there's a week you just don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, but Adam,
it's got to get a little thin. Do you have enough? Do you have like 15 on your roster? 16? How many rounds did you have?
No. We had 18 rounds. We went crazy. This is what happened.
Now, Adam, when you take it as seriously as you do, and I think it can be an example to the listening audience of WGN Radio, they can hear, you know, from the top of the mountain, the Oracle explaining, you know, when you really are serious about it, here's what you do. Do you actually call the family, the home, maybe the childhood home of Paxton Lynch, and beforehand and inform him that he's about to be drafted?
No, I wanted to. The Broncos did not adhere to that request. They're like, what are you doing? I'm like, no, it's a danger zone league because we're crazy. And they're like, yeah, that's not happening. I wanted to call Amari Cooper and let him know he was being drafted.
Sure.
But no.
I could see him on Skype picking up the phone and saying like, yes, sir, no, sir. And then hanging it up and then high-fiving the grandma. You know, that stuff.
I don't think that's a strange request. I don't know why they'd be throwing up roadblocks, but
so Adam, as you mentioned, some of these, I don't want to say obscure, but some of these kind of role players that are going to be a part of your teams, that's wonderful. But you know, are there some like players that are out there that you can say like, hey, you know, for the listeners that happen to be up and listening to this, like here's people that you see value in that maybe kind of, you know, off that aren't the Aaron Rodgers of the world in those drafts.
You know, one of the guys who there's always going to be one pick in any draft where somebody is selected and everybody's just like, oh, and like you can see the anger on the little chat widget that they're just scrolling.
I was going to take him next.
I know. It was one of those things. And tonight, one of the hosts of NFL Fantasy Live, James Coe, he drafted Spencer Ware. And the room just went nuts. Like everybody was so defeated. I just drafted Duke Johnson. I'm like, oh, I think I can wait on Ware for one more. Like I was about, because I was near the turn. So I thought like, oh, he'll come back to me. But no, that was one of the guys that really stands out. He's been moving up draft boards at a pretty quick pace because Jamal Charles, of course, is still having some injury returns coming back from that knee, his second knee injury of his career. So Spencer Ware figures that no matter what Charles does, Spencer Ware is going to continue to have a role with the Chiefs. And Andy Reid is typically of the mind to try to get a couple of running backs in the mix. So he's somebody that I've been keeping an eye on. And then Marvin Jones in Detroit. I think we talked about Golden Tate, who had a better season last year because all of a sudden the catch rule just all of a sudden changed once again during the middle of that interception. But whatever. I'm not better. But no, Marvin Jones, I believe, is going to thrive as the number two wide receiver in that attack because we've seen Matthew Stafford enough. We know what his game was like. It was having Calvin Johnson out there was probably, it's going to seem weird to say this, but it was a little bit, I think, of a detriment because, like, no matter what happens, you always have to throw it to Calvin Johnson, much in the same way out here with Kobe Bryant. Like, when he was playing, it's like, okay, everybody's got to defer to Kobe. It's why, you know, Dwight Howard, that thing fizzled out and everything else. That there always is a black hole. Like, as talented and as great
as these players are, that sometimes it doesn't really equate to team success. And so I think with Calvin Johnson gone, it's going to give Matthew Stafford a little bit more freedom to kind of spread the ball out. He's got Golden Tate over there who moves into the role as a number one receiver. I see him having trouble similarly to the way that Randall Cobb had last year of trying to be a number one when in all actuality, he's a number two. But I think Marvin Jones being on the other side, I think he'll rebound and do pretty well. He put up some nice numbers for the Bengals. So he's another guy I'm searching for.
Yeah. I thought that the pickup of Jones was a good one for Detroit, and they have no running game really. Riddick catches a lot of balls out of the backfield. I think he had 80, near 80 last year. And so it's a pass happy offense. You know, Stafford's a guy you might look to take as a second quarterback or maybe even a first one if you're going for a reach. But I really thought that Detroit made a nice pickup with him trying to fill that second spot. And I think he's, as you said, he's going to be able to step in there and catch a lot of passes. And I think Stafford will have a decent year throwing the ball again. So I think Detroit's offense is looking up. Now, I don't know as far as, the tight end production they get. But, there's like I said, the ball's going to be in the air more. It's going to be on the ground. There's no doubt about it with that team, no question.
And that's what we saw with Jim Bob Cooter last year. So I feel like
I love that name, Jim Bob Cooter.
He needs a fishing show.
I thought it was that guy. I thought it was the guy with the Tennessee hat.
Babe Winkleman with his
Jim Bob Cooter.
Well, okay, so. And this is just kind of one of those 10,000-foot questions where you kind of get into the Adam Rank, crystal ball, and you project the future. As, a game like Madden became something that the players were aware of, their stats in there, their abilities in there, they would comment on it. Do you see a point down the road where a sideline reporter, maybe on NFL Network, is is doing a quick interview with a player, and they happen to mention how this game will affect and improve their fantasy stats?
I think we're pretty
close to it, but I don't think they would do it during the game.
It might be a post-game interview.
Maybe if the question is, would you say to your fantasy, the people who have you on their fantasy league, what would you say to them, and then they would have to answer.
Yeah, they would be like, oh, man, I don't know anything about that. I'm just trying to take it one play at a time and do my best to help this team win. Like, it would be great to ask a Patriots player that. Like, hey, Deion Lewis, like, why are you struggling for my fantasy? Just because the Patriots, like, you could just see their eyes, like, that do not compute thing just is shooting
right
out of the screen there. Yeah, that would be cool, though. I would love to. It seems like a Saturday Night Live sketch or something. hey, Chris Hogan, as we head to the locker room, what did you see from the Ravens defense? And then be like, okay, but seriously, bro, I got you started this week.
How come you haven't gotten open once in the entire first half?
I need you to do this. And you never know. Adam, you may be surprised. They may say, like, I'm doing a draft right now. Well, here's something that is happening right now, and it hasn't happened for many, many years out there on the West Coast. And, there have been different, incarnation of football and NFL out there and a lot of great history, right? But it never quite stuck. And you got the Rams coming back, so you've got that. It isn't as though the Tennessee Titans are heading, back there or anything like that. You've got that traditional team that there probably is some local allegiances to. So what is it like on the street? Are people excited?
There was a lot more excitement than I kind of anticipated. I saw it the same way that I saw the Guns N' Roses reunion. Like, that would have been cool when I was a teenager. But now that I'm an adult and this is the thing for me, which is so it probably flies in the face of what a lot of people think. Now, of course, I support the Chicago Bears, but growing up out here, I was a Rams fan until the team folded and was reborn in St. Louis. And I was like, I'm not doing that. I'm not following you to St. Louis. That's not that's not the way the world works. Like, nobody ever willingly moves from L.A. to St. Louis. Like, what is this?
Like, you had battered fan syndrome or something. You're like,
when they move. No, but I was going to say, when they move back, like, it's for the longest time I was like, oh yeah, I'd love to see them, move back. And then I became ambivalent to it. And I enjoy, because my family, I was born in Schaumburg. My family's from Illinois. So I was like the redheaded stepchild who wasn't rooting for the Bears, and it was a point of contention. So when I finally made the family proud and did the right thing and started supporting the Bears, then everything was right again. And so now that the Rams are back, I'm kind of like, you know what? I'm not really buying into it. Plus, I don't trust them. They were gone for 20 years. Right. All of a sudden, overnight, I'm supposed to believe you when you say you're here to stay. Like, I don't know. Like, in week two, what if I get a call on Wednesday and they're like, listen, we're just having lunch in St. Louis. This means nothing. We had something. We had to pick something up. And then all next thing you know, they're playing a game there at the Edward Jones Dome. And boom, they're back. You're like, I knew it. I should have never let you go visit St. Louis. So that I don't know that it's going to happen. So until I see them actually play a game that means something out here, then we'll see what happens. But for right now, I'm like, all right, well, do it. I'll tell you this. If they go to the Super Bowl, which isn't going to happen with Jeff Fisher, so this statement's very bold for me to make. If they go to the Super Bowl, I might be like, okay, yeah, I'm back. Here's my Eric Dickerson jersey. There I am. But until that time, and I think it's pretty safe. And plus, Jared Goff looks terrible. I thought TJ, when I was a kid, I thought TJ Rubley was
awful. Oh, good God, he was brutal.
He was good. Oh, man, I would love somebody if TJ Rubley's caliber to be quarterback of the Rams right now.
Well, you mean what you saw in Hard Knocks didn't convince you that they were a team to watch?
What are they? I thought Cal was supposed to be this great academic institution.
but unfortunately, it didn't translate.
Oh my gosh! Maybe that makes me feel worse for him. It's like because you obviously weren't spending all of your time playing football because you're not that great. So at least it'd be book smart or something. So you could be like, well, he was studying. He was going to Cal. It was hard.
Hey,
I don't know what he was doing.
Right, where you could say like, hey, I'm smart. I was in shape, though. You know, that's great. So it's been great. Let the listeners know, of course, Adam Rank from NFL Network has been on with us talking fantasy football and football in general and enthusiasm or lack thereof for the resurgence of Rams-style L.A.-based football as well. Before we let you go, Adam, let the listeners know, of course, NFL.com. They can get in on all the different ways to play along with the NFL, but your social media, people can keep up with your adventures.
Oh, you can check me out, Facebook and Twitter. Both those are, you know, / Adam Rank. Very easy to find. But I would like to tell everybody that we have a brand new fantasy show starting on Monday, 5 p.m. your time, 6 p.m. Eastern. It's called Fantasy and Friends. It's going to be a really cool brand new show. Dave Damashek is the host, MJD, Aaron Coscarelli, and me, Adam Rank, will be interacting with the fans. It's going to be more of a people's television show. We're going to be taking Skypers and people on Snapchat and Instagram and Twitter and all that stuff and trying to be on the forefront of social media innovation and just reaching people and just helping them out, you know, because it's easy for us to think what you guys want to hear, but we actually want to hear from you. You tell us what you want to know and anything like that, and we'll be getting you set up for your entire fantasy season.
Sounds great.
Power to the people, Adam Rank doing that. Thanks again, Adam. We love what you do, and thanks for being on WGN tonight.
Well, you're very kind. Thank you so much for having me, but I got to let you know the pleasure was all on this side of the phone, and let's do it again real soon.
All right, thanks, Adam. We'll talk to you soon.
Take it easy, Adam.
WGN, Dane Neal here until 2 a.m. Pretty late in for Patty. And you hear that anytime you hear like the, you know, the slide guitar or the banjo kind of situation going on, or maybe a mouth harp, who knows. What was the name of the player that that Adam had mentioned that we thought should be have his own fishing show if he doesn't already?
Oh, Jim Bob Cooter, the coach for Detroit. I think he's
was he the coach for Arkansas or something before?
Billy Joe, Jim Bob. No, I don't know. I'm trying to think where he. I'm not sure where he. I got to look back, but I'm not sure where he came from. I want to say it was a college team at some point. And that's usually where you start, and then you make your way up to the pros. But
Jim Bob Cooter.
Jim
of course,
Bob Cooter.
Probably, and most likely no relation to the Cooter who was always asked if he had his ears on during the Dukes of Hazzard show.
Right.
Hey Cooter, you got your ears on? Was the one of the catchphrases I think of a generation. So when it comes to the different ways that people play along with the NFL, and it's kind of cool, right, that you can do that at NFL.com. So many other sites out there, less trusted than the Mighty Shield from the league.
Right.
But you've been doing it a long time, and I know I have done the confidence pool, which is basically, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, it's 1 through 16. Yeah.
And then the bye weeks, it's less because there's obviously teams that are off.
However many teams are playing. And sure. then, you know, whoever, whichever team you have the most confidence in that
right,
they're going
you
to
would
win.
Put the highest
if
number
it's the
on
Patriots,
them.
You know, against the Jacksonville Jaguars, typically you would put a higher number on the Patriots.
Correct.
And then you'd go down to those games right. where you're really not sure. It's a toss up. They'll get those low numbers.
Yeah, the ones that, you know, you're going to put the low numbers on what you think might be an upset or you're not sure who's going to get it. You know, you're going to pick the team you think's going to win, but if they lose, you're not going to lose anything by being wrong. You know, and if you're right, you know, on that one and other people aren't, and sometimes if you take a, you know, a calculated gamble, you're, you know, you're, then you're going to have a good chance of winning. So yeah, they do it. It's, you can do it week to week. You can do, there's some that go all year long.
Right, where you tabulate, you know, every week you count up whatever your score is and
sure,
then you
and
add
then
it up. And
you
then
have a record that goes throughout the season and there's a payout at the end for the person who has the best
or
record.
Or some kind of prize.
Right,
or pie
sure.
or something.
Exactly. So there's, you know, it just depends on how you want to do it. You know, people can get in and out that way if they only want to do it 1 week and then they want to stop. And then get in later, then they're not committed to it every week. Or there's other ones where you do it every week, and then there's a bigger payout at the end.
Bigger pie.
Right, bigger pie. It's like maybe you get a rhubarb pie if you're, you know, you win 1 week.
Hey, don't act.
And then you get an apple pie at the end.
Yeah, the traditionally good.
That's
and
right. That's a good way to put it. Maybe we'll just put it in those terms instead of actual wagering or any kind of money being exchanged.
The FBI wiretap. They just keep saying pie. That's what it is. Well, I've been doing those kind of pools for probably 20 years or so. And so those are pretty consistent and you're pretty used to it. And it takes a whole season. You can get really far behind and you know you're going to lose and you wonder why you should even play.
Yeah, right.
Whereas the for the last maybe 5-6 years or so, we've been doing a survivor pool. And I know it's probably been around as long as any of the others, but this one's really cool because you just pick. It's very. It doesn't. It's not time consuming.
No.
Right. You don't have to have all the time in the world to kind of break down the action because for the kind of things that Adam is doing in 16 different ways and you've done for 26 years, you really have to follow all of those teams. You when you say a Wendell Smallwood, you've got to know who he is.
Right.
So that you can make sure that he's not on your team.
of course.
But their survivor pools is one of those that I would encourage people to get in on because all you have to do is pick one team per week and you're only but the way that it works is you pick a team every week. You can only pick one team one time per season.
Yep.
And so if you pick we're using the Patriots as kind of our bar for success. If you pick them week one, but you can't pick them every week. And then, you know, as the season goes on, you have less kind of bona fide proven winners.
Yeah, you don't have as many options as the season progresses, but that's the key is to look ahead if you can, maybe a couple of weeks and say, well, if I get this one right, who's going to be the next one that I'm going to take? I look at it, you know, some people do it just a week they're in to survive to the next week. But sometimes you have to think, well, maybe I hold back and don't take that team knowing that I might
need
that ace in my pocket later. Now, here's a definite mismatch. Here's one I think is going to win for sure. And then I save the Packers or a good, really good team to use later when they're playing in another prohibitive favorite game. That you need as you know as you go along, but what you hope happens is you know one there's an upset and everyone picks it,
right?
And then
that happens.
And oh, it does all the time.
And that happens. I've seen it where you've got maybe, you know, 50, 60 people playing in the pool, and then you have one of those, and you hope that in a Russian roulette kind of scenario that you have done one of those, like don't take the obvious one,
right?
You know, and if you're following along, you know that when there's a team that probably traditionally may be looked at as a team that isn't going to win, but you know they're on a hot streak or maybe there's some injuries in there,
sure,
and you think they've got a chance to win or they're playing at home, and then you have some of those, you know, kind of traditionally good teams that everybody picks, and it may knock out half the pool or more in 1 week.
Right, and that's one of the things you need to look at, and it seems like that happens. It happens a couple of times every time you have one of those pools where one team just takes everybody down because, you know, they thought, oh, this was a lock. There's no way they're going to lose this one, and then sure enough, you know, they get beat, you know, however it is, if it's a last-second field goal or they went, you know, they just come and don't play a good game.
It's neat
that's it.
To see how, and you've been going on a long time, like you mentioned, 20-plus years. I've been doing it for a long time, but it was kind of cool to hear Adam from NFL Network talk about the league finally admitting and embracing that this is something that, and he's the way that he worded it, that people like, right? You know,
right.
As far as the pools, because it's one thing to just pretend it doesn't exist, and it's another to kind of give people avenues to kind of make make the games, I guess, more interesting from a personal standpoint, regardless of how many pies there may be at the end.
Well, I think the way the NFL looks at it is that, you know, this is another way to bring in a better audience, more, you know, people getting interested in the game, you know, not necessarily to watch a specific team sometimes, because maybe your team isn't very good, or you've watched your game, they're on at noon. And then, you know, sometimes that keeps people interested the rest of the day because, yeah, I got so-and-so playing at night. I'm going to watch that game to see how he's doing. It's a little bit different now with technology because now you don't even have to watch a game. You get an update on your phone.
Well, I mean, you still want to, right?
But you still, right, I still do. I mean, a lot of people do. I enjoy watching the games themselves. I'm not one that, you know, that looks at my phone and says, oh, so-and-so scored a touchdown.
Well, what makes it possible, and, you know, you brought up technology, is all of that information at your fingertips. I mean, yeah. I remember, you know, early on, you'd have to wait till Monday, till like the Sun Times came out, and you'd flip it and they'd just have some basic stats or something like that. Or you'd have to wait till there just wasn't that whole, this was a while, a long time ago, but where, you know, you really did have to watch the games in order to kind of get that feeling of how the different players or the different teams were playing, because all those statistics just weren't at your fingertips.
No, you didn't have that. In fact, the one league that I was talking about, I was in for 26 years.
When we
started it, it was
it
all
like Wednesday is when you found out what really happened with all the different games.
No, we would take the stats would come out of the USA Today, which would come out Monday, the day after all the Sunday games. They were one of the only publications that had, you know, right down to the tackles,
actual in-depth statistics,
defensive statistics all the way down. So we used that in the beginning to do all of our stats. It was myself and another guy. We would both do all of the stats, and then we'd double check our work against each other. And then as we got along in the league, finally, you know, a handful of years ago, we decided, well, let's get it online. At least then NFL.com will figure it out. You know, the stats are already out there. It'll come on one of the sites, and then they don't have to do all the work. I mean, you're still double checking everything against it, but it's not like it was years ago where you had to do it out of a newspaper. And I used to literally cut out the game, the box scores, and look at them one, you know, each game to see who did what. And then we would have to compile it on a spreadsheet. It was just so much manual work.
You had to really want it.
Exactly. That was one of those things where you got in it because you really loved doing it. Otherwise, it never would have lasted.
Right. And now, of course, you can sort of care and still have a great, productive, and really fun and fun football pool as far as your fantasy football and, of course, all of the other ones as well. We're going to take a break. We've got Dino Tiberi in studio. When we come back, we're going to talk a little college football kickoff because the college football season is happening all around us. Of course, the Wildcats here on WGN and in our kind of sphere, certainly listening audience and a lot of fans of the Wisconsin Badgers. You're going to actually see, and I think this is very cool, we have at, I think there's a game going on at Soldier Field that's got two kind of iconic teams are going to be playing, you know, kind of that alternative venue, right? You take two great teams and you kind of put them in a super
neutral
cool,
site. Yep.
Yeah, neutral, but a cool venue right here in Chicago. And you're going to be up at Lambeau Field where they're going to have the Wisconsin Badgers going to be playing LSU, you know, a really, you know, always a perennial, you know, college football powerhouse. So we'll talk about that as well as all the other teams, the Big Ten and much more. It's Dane here on 720 WGN. WGN. It is Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase Studio right here on Michigan Avenue. And what is going to be? I have a feeling. I think Tom Skilling shared his thoughts on the weather as well, and his educated and predictive thoughts, saying that is going to be. He said it's going to be an absolutely gorgeous weekend.
Well, of course, it's going to be a great weekend. I'm channeling my inner Tom right now. It's going to be a beautiful day, 88 degrees on Monday. And it's going to be nice out.
It's going to be nice out. Yeah, that's when he breaks it down for the common man.
Oh, God. He's the best. He is absolutely the best.
In layman's terms, it's going to be nice out. You know, that's what he would say. Not a high-pressure front moving in.
His three-dimensional forecast will give you all the details you need. He's amazing. He's something else.
Well,
Tom Skilling.
The college football season for many, many schools is going to be kicking off tomorrow. And you are going to be front and center at what is, you know, whether you're a supporter or a fan of the team or not, recognized as, you know, just like if you're a fan, maybe you're not a Cubs fan, but you understand that Wrigley Field is one of these sports venues that is legendary for a reason. It's kind of on a lot of people's bucket list to make it to. And Lambeau Field is along, I mean, I think it's right in that kind of same, you know, Fenway Park, Santa Anita, you know, on the horse racing side. But Lambeau Field is definitely a must go to for any sports fan, certainly if you're a football fan. And you get to see, you know, you're a big Wisconsin Badgers fan, right? And you get to see them play, always, you know, a perennial powerhouse with LSU. And in that setting, it's going to be cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. My good friend Lee Machieski got the tickets. I have to thank his wife because she's in Ireland right now. She couldn't get back to go to the
just
game.
Just thank her for going to Ireland?
Yeah, well, I'm thanking her just because.
Thanks for going to Ireland.
Thanks for going to Ireland and not being back in time so I could go to the game instead of you tomorrow. But I'm really looking forward to it. When he told me that he had an extra ticket, I basically jumped at the chance at that, going to that one, because like you said, it's a bucket list game. That's a place to watch a game. I mean, you know, not necessarily did I need to go see the Packers play there. I mean, I'd seen them play before in County Stadium, you right. know, years ago when Brett Favre was his first year when he was playing against Atlanta in the playoff game. I was actually at that.
You were
the
at,
last,
you were,
I was at the last game. I was at the last game played at County Stadium.
You were at that game?
Yeah.
The game where he wasn't supposed to run, but he did. And
right,
then
he dove into the end zone. We were on the opposite end of the field. We could see it. Oh, it was something else. I mean, you know, I was a little skeptical. Like, oh, I'm watching Green Bay. It's like, why am I up here? But, you know, we had a good time there, but I never got to go to Lambeau. So I thought, you know what, when this opportunity came up a couple of weeks ago when he told me about the ticket, I was like, you know, absolutely. I'm like, you know, I'm in on that one because the history of the stadium, the fact that the Badgers have never played there before, and they're coming in against a number of top five opponent in LSU. And I mean, it's going to be a tough game for them tomorrow. If they're fortunate enough to win, it's going to be a great effort on their end, because LSU is really good and they're always really talented. So I'm looking forward to getting up there. I guess there's some other things around the stadium that you know, go on. You know, as
like,
far as
there's
like,
a Brett Favre Steakhouse, and I think there's an Applebee's. And that's it.
You know, that'll be it. No, but I guess there's like a museum or something next to it. I don't know. Whatever. I don't really care what else is going on, to be honest with you. Just that we're going to be in there watching the game will be cool. And
on paper, I think it would be a great game no matter where they played it. But to have it at Lambeau Field is going to be exciting. And here's one of the things that you're going to notice about it. And for listeners too, if you ever make it up there, it is not just, you know, an old stadium where a lot of, you know, the Ice Bowl and historic things have happened there, but the sight lines are really great. It's like a not even a big college. This is not, you know, Michigan in the Big House. It's like a college stadium because they're able to fit. You know, I don't know, with the skyboxes, it's probably more than that, but I think in the bowl, it's like 70, maybe 2,000. But it's all still very low to the ground as opposed to Soldier Field, where we're used to. They've got those, you know, that giant second level.
Right, that they've built up.
You're very high up. You're far from the field. The sight lines are absolutely amazing. And the reason or the way that they're able to do it, it's a give-take world. There's some compromises. It's a bleacher setting, so you're sitting a little closer to other people. They don't have... there's no cup holders or anything like that. I know that's not cool.
Well, the modern amenities, I mean, you'll trade that in for the tradition of the field. I mean, it's kind of like...
And you will be able to see very, very well. And it's a state-of-the-art place that it wasn't necessarily maybe 15 or 20 sure. years ago, where it was, you know, porta-potties and kind of corrugated metal, but you still had a great...
yeah.
You always had a great sight line, but now, you know, state-of-the-art jumbotrons and all of those
right.
kind of creature comforts that you like and some decent food. So you're going to really enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And, of course, you know, every time you go up to into the Cheddar Curtain, as I like to call it, there's always a traditional brat stop, stop in Kenosha. We may do a before and after the game. We're doing an up and back in one day tomorrow. So
wow.
It's a lot of driving, but it's going to
as long
be,
as you're not doing it.
Well, listen, I'm going to be doing some of it, okay, if not all of it, but... It'll be good to go. I'll be really excited going up there to check that out tomorrow, and I'll let you know next time we're on to how that all played out.
From the fan perspective, it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, you're going to enjoy it. You already mentioned it. From the team perspective, it's going to be a tough game for the Badgers because, you know, LSU is good. You know, it's a non-conference game, but let's talk a little bit, you know, your thoughts as far as the Big Ten this year. What are things, you know, how are things shaping up and who looks to get out there?
Yeah,
and,
I think right now the way that it stands, Michigan and Michigan State are going to be really good. I think Ohio State will be good because they're always good.
Just because
they're Ohio State. I mean, Iowa had a great season last year. I think Wisconsin will be, they'll contend. They'll be in the middle of the pack. They have some quarterback issues going on right now. They graduated a quarterback last year who had started for the better part of his 4 years that he was in at Wisconsin. So they're going to be a little inexperienced at the quarterback position, but their defense was really good. The odd part about this game on Saturday is their defensive coordinator left Wisconsin, and now he's at LSU.
Oh, well, then they're going to lose.
It's going to be, yeah, I know all the tendencies of their team already. It's going to be tough to overcome.
I think, the honor system would prevent him from...
you're like cheating in the meetings. I know. They're going to do this when they go this way. When they make this call at the line of scrimmage, this is what they're going to do. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that was an interesting development when that happened. That he would go to a team that they're playing the first game of the year in the next season.
I feel bad for him if LSU lets him go after this game. And then brings on something.
Yeah, well, he's fired. Thanks for playing. That's it.
But. And for Michigan, you mentioned them as one of the contenders this year for the Big Ten. You got the Jim Harbaugh situation. Him as the coach there, has it made a big difference?
Yeah, I think it has in recruiting, especially. And he's really gotten guys to come in there and buy into his system. And I think that they've steadily gotten better in the 2 years he's been over there. So.
Well, that's why they play the games. It remains to be seen. We'll see how it all plays out. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, of course, we'll have the news. But right now, it's Dane here on 720 WGN.
Imagine your world is silent, or you feel left out in conversations because you can't hear. Hearing loss is a leading public health issue affecting 48 million Americans. But there's a lot you can do to help. Step up and help provide programs benefiting people with hearing loss. And have some fun while you're at it. A day of family and friends at the Hearing Loss Association of America's 10th annual Chicago Walk for Hearing, Sunday, September 25th at Lincoln Park. Visit walkforhearing.org for more information.
Dane Neal here, 720 WGN. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk a little bit of baseball. We've got right now the San Francisco Giants in town. This is a team that has had really kind of unparalleled success over the last, at least from the National League, for the last, I don't know, 5-8 years. They've won, I think, 3 World Series.
Yeah,
right?
All even year World Series. So it's, you're concerned about that because it's 2016, but not really because
that's weird.
Yeah, no, it's just odd that they've won every championship.
Are they 40 games over 500, Dino?
No, and that's, I don't think that they're going to be a factor, but, that's just me.
No, well,
I think they're going to make the playoffs. Now, maybe they get hot, and this is one of those even years, so you never know. The last 3 have ended in a World Series championship, so.
It's going to be interesting, and it'll be cool to have them here. And, of course, they are in town, and the Cubs kind of had their way with them up until now. Dino, you think about it, we're all so familiar with Manic Monday, right? But this actually started out, it was a song written by somebody else. They didn't bring the lawsuit because they're not litigious, but it was a Manic Saturday. And that's why Elif is playing this. Thanks, Elif.
Manic Monday, good tune. It's not going to be a Manic Monday this Monday coming up, as I'll be back in the Cheddar Curtain again.
It'll be a relaxing kind of barbecue sit-back Monday. There'll be nothing manic about it. It'll be a relaxing Labor Day.
Yeah, I'll be driving up to Miller Park for the Cub-Brewer game this Monday.
Hopefully with another couple victories, kind of in the victory bank account as the magic number continues to decline.
Yeah, they're down to 13 right now after the Cardinal took another one on the chin tonight, so... down to 13, and
is it a 16-game lead?
Something like that. It was 15.5 going into today, so I believe that puts it to 16.5.
And before we went to the break, we kind of mentioned, the Giants are here. If you look at kind of the standard for success in recent memory in the National League for Major League Baseball, the Giants have to be there. They only win it like every other year, though, and this happens to be one of their designated, dibs.
It's an even year. Last year was an odd year, and they weren't able to get it done, but... I don't know. I think that just a coincidence to me. I think 2016 is not going to be the Giants' year.
You wouldn't think so. They're in town now, and the Cubs are playing. Do you think that the Cubs are looking at this series? As you look towards maybe some of the past ones, you know, this season with the Cardinals, you know, when it was a little bit closer, or maybe, you know, some of those other seasons with the Dodgers, where these are potential teams that you could be facing in the very near future. And you really want to kind of prove either to yourself that you kind of have, I don't know what you say, their number, right?
Yeah, you really want to play well. Last year when the Cubs played the Giants in that four-game series and they got a sweep, that really, you know, pushed them to the, you know, to get going in the last month and then end up, you know, with 97 wins last year. And this year, not so much of a barometer. I mean, it's important because they're a playoff contender. There's no question about it. And you want to win those games for sure. But tomorrow's game is going to be a great matchup. It's Jake Arrieta against Madison Bumgarner from the Giants. And it's going to be a great pitching matchup between those two. And that would be, to me, a playoff opener. If they play the Giants, you know, those would be two pitchers that you're probably going to see on the mound going into game one if those two teams had happened to meet in the playoffs.
It's going to be a much different landscape on the National League side as far as the teams that are in the playoffs this year as opposed to last year. I mean, do you have – because here's the thing. Is you couldn't have drawn – and we've joked about this that you couldn't write – it would be an unbelievable script for Hollywood to say that the team would be this far ahead and that they'd be 40 games over 500 and heading in. So they've got all the things that you'd want as far as, you know, momentum, as far as, you know, mindset and success. This is not a team that's trying to battle their way into the playoffs. They're able to really kind of make those decisions and coach and do what's best for the long-term and playoff success of the team, as opposed to, you know, like last year, fight for absolutely every single thing so that you could try to get into the playoffs.
Right, first. Yep.
Yeah, and you hear the players echo that. They're like, wow, this is a lot. I don't, they want to say easier, but this is just is a lot more comfortable of a situation, right? Where you can really focus on the prize, even though you're taking one game at a time, but focus on that prize down the road because you've built up this bank account of success, you know, up until now. And, you know, as you're looking at it, as they kind of get towards those playoffs, it's still the kind of thing that if you get, and we've seen, you know, Cub teams that at least on paper were successful. And then you just get in there and you realize pretty quickly, it's not going to happen. That's not going to happen with this team.
No, you know what? I think this team is young. They're hungry. I just don't think they're just playing. I mean, it's just a game right now. They're not feeling any pressure. You know, the fact that they went through this a year ago really helps going into this postseason because these guys have all been in it already. You know, it's, you know, and you know, they've all had success. I mean, now it's just staying healthy, getting your rotation set as you get closer to the end to get your guys in a good order. You're bringing up some reinforcements from the minors, not a lot. They don't need a lot. You know, maybe you get a base runner that, you know, you might to try to develop if you need a guy in the postseason, if you need a pinch runner at some point to score a run, maybe you find.
I mean, these are like fine-tuned tweaks.
Sure,
know?
It's not going to be anything drastic. It's going to be a couple of guys that you've already seen. El Moro will be one of them. You know, they brought Tommy La Stella up the other day, and he was in the lineup, and you're going to get a couple of pitchers back that are, you know, they've been on the DL. Lackey's supposed to be back this weekend supposedly, and then Rondon and Strope are next up, and then you mesh your team. You start playing these games down the stretch like they're playoff games as far as how you treat this, how the setup is. You bring so-and-so in. You bring Strope in the seventh. You have Rondon in the eighth. You have Chapman in the ninth. That's the pattern you're going to see if they're going to be successful in the postseason, and you want to get them in that routine again since they've been out. And then it's just a matter of, you know, who does Joe put in the lineup depending on who's pitching or who needs. And then he's done a great job of getting at people rest. And they're going to get some more once they clinch the division. They still have the good news for them is that Washington is still playing well enough that they're in the mix for home field advantage. So the Cubs still have something to play for because you want to have that home field advantage throughout the National League playoffs if you can get it. You know, last year they went through the wild card first on the road.
Well,
then they had to go to St. Louis and play the first two there. Now this year it's going to flip. They don't have the wild card. Their rotation will be in order going into the first round or, you know, after the wild card game, and they'll be able to set things up the way they want to.
Well, last year they were kind of just passengers.
Oh,
just,
right.
You know, lucky to be there, happy to be there, you know, fortunate to be there. But you look at just the value of what that experience is, and they had some success, some kind of legendary success, or to be able to face the Cardinals for the first time in the playoffs and to beat them,
right?
Which kind of almost exercised that demon of that rivalry that was really kind of one-sided. You know, the Cardinals were good and the Cubs were not good.
Yeah.
And there was a rivalry, but the Cardinals always won, and that was just the way that it was. And this sure. was, you know, front and center on baseball's biggest stage, at least for the playoffs, to be able to go there and then beat them and knock them out of the playoffs was huge, right? That experience, and to have those players, those very, very young players early on, get that taste of the playoffs. So they're not just, so it isn't this year that they're happy to be there. Cause I think we were all thinking that hopefully if all the stars aligned, that this would be the year that they would kind of work their way into the playoffs and be that good. But, you know, for them to have that experience and then get into, you know, face some adversity and get beaten by a much better, at least on the pitching side, Mets team. But they have that. So in their mind, they're already past that. In their mind, they're probably, you know, in the league championship series, you know, right now, thinking like, this is where we really need to be. You got to play all the games. And I think it's a testament to Joe Maddon, because if you look at the way that he is, it's one thing, the on the field stuff, and he's done so much, right? He's so actively making decisions, moving people around, you know, calling for steals and bunts and all the things that you'd want a manager to do. He's really in tune. But really, the thing that I think one of his great, great values is that he is that brick wall buffer between the media and the team. And he has such a great relationship and I think respect from the media, and deservedly so, that he's still that player's manager. He's always positive, even when he's negative. You know, he'll be like, hey, he just didn't get him today, but I know he'll get him tomorrow,
right,
kind of thing. He's never calling anybody out. And you're seeing, especially with a team with as much scrutiny as you've seen in a long time, you don't see the player. You know, there isn't any of those kind of weird distractions. You see some bubble up, you know, with, you know, Hamill getting pulled, you know, and then he's obviously not happy about it, or Listella.
Yeah,
him just kind of being smoothed over. I mean, it works.
Yeah, I think that you know, the Listella thing, I was a little surprised that he was in the lineup as soon as he came up. I mean, he was the first day back, there he is, he's playing second base, batting, you know, he's in the lineup. To me,
you're concerned. I mean, are you saying, well, he's just not good enough to warrant that kind of?
I'm not saying that so much. I just think that, you know, all the things that took place with that whole thing with him, the fact that he didn't want to report, he went home, he was threatening to retire, then he comes back, and everything's all of a sudden okay, and there he is back in the lineup again. I guess he went, you know, he told his teammates he was sorry or whatever it was that he said. I just personally didn't think that he deserved to be in the starting lineup the first game that he was eligible to play. Work him back in as a pinch hitter, you know, ease him back in there, but to drop him right in there for a, you know, and take Baez out of the lineup or Zobrist because this guy was back on the roster seemed a little strange to me. But if that's the biggest thing that I'm worried about right now, then that's pretty small potatoes.
He's
to be
being too nice
you.
To Tommy Listella.
Yeah, exactly.
I got a problem with that.
Nah, it's not that I have a problem with it. I just think that the guys that have been on the, you know, that didn't divert themselves away from the team concept for a little bit. And let's face it, what he did was selfish. I mean, I'm going to say it, you know, right now, because that's my feeling, is that it was a numbers move. He had to go. He was the only guy that had options, you know, and that's the thing. The great thing about Joe Maddon, as you said, is he's able to keep everything in check, and maybe that's the right thing to do, is to put him in a lineup. I didn't understand it, and maybe I never will, but for him to be able to do that and blend him back in like that, you know, and maybe he was a guy that was – he started a playoff game last year, so I'm not questioning his talent. He belongs – in the mix of this team. It's just now there's so much talent that if it's a distraction, then that's a problem. And right now, so far, it doesn't seem like it, because they're rolling right along like nothing happened.
One of the big question marks, and continuing to roll despite and he had a couple games, a little stretch there where he was hitting, but Jason Hayward is, you know, has not been the Jason Hayward, at least on the offensive side, that, you know, that you bought, right? It
right.
wasn't as advertised. And it's one thing, especially with the team doing as well and having the lead and just being extra considerate for every reason, you know, that you can go ahead and do that. But as they get closer to the playoffs, and Joe Maddon has to make some decisions on what's best that day for the team to win that particular game, you know, is there Is Jason Hayward going to be like left out based on what he's doing with the bat?
Nah, you know what? I don't think so. I think he gives you so much with his glove that, you know, they'll put him down in the lineup like they have been. He's batting seventh. He was batting second. Now, you know, the lineup with Brian in the second spot has been absolutely amazing. I mean, he's had an MVP season. I think what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to spot play. Maybe they get a pitching matchup that's not good for him. Maybe he doesn't start. He's certainly going to come in at some point because of his glove, because he's the best right fielder in baseball, so defensively. And so you're still going to use him. It's just, and I think he's been a professional about it because, you know, guys can get, you know, when they get into a slump, it's tough, especially a guy that's making that kind of money.
Yeah.
It's difficult. But, not that I feel sorry for him, but right. I think that, you know, the fact that he's been a pro about it, he's accepted his demotion down in the lineup. There's been games where he hasn't started because he hasn't hit the ball, and I think he's starting to hit a little more. If you look at his stats in the last couple of weeks, he's making better contact. Actually, you know, he's had a couple of these hits that he breaks a bat and he gets a couple RBIs out of it.
I think
those hits he had none of those hits.
Yeah, we've noticed that he has been kind of, I guess, the victim of really situational positioning of the other player. He hits it hard, but the guy ends up
at him, like a bullet right at a guy, and that's it.
Throughout the course of the season, the pitching staff has gotten acclaim for being like really good and in tune and low ERAs, and of course on the offensive side, you know, they've been putting up good numbers, and you've got a couple MVP candidates. But really, I think it's not unsung. It's just less sung because there's so many other things to sing about. But this team defensively, especially that infield. I mean, you're looking at Baez, who, remember a couple of years ago when he was coming in, he was supposed to be, you know, hard-hitting, you know, home run hitter is what he was supposed to do. Yep. And it's just so good. It's just so exciting to watch, you know, in the field. And, of course, Addison Russell has just, you know, kind of blossomed all that you could ever hope and probably and more than he would be.
It just seems like to me every time he's up, there's runners on base and he's driving them in. And he's got, you know, 80-plus RBIs. He's got 19 home runs. He's batting about 240, 245. But every time he's up there in a clutch situation, like last night, he got up there in a blue pit and they get a run. So it's, you know, that's one of those things where, Madden has found a way with him. And Baez is at, you know, he's quietly hit like 14 or 15 home runs.
But he's really proven some kind of essential value with his fielding.
Oh, he's incredible. Everywhere they put him. They put him at second. They put him at short. They put him at third base. He even played first base for a game. I mean, the guy is amazing, and he's only, you know, he's a young guy. It's like, you know, you've got Ben Zobrist, who is the ultimate utility player that you brought in, and now you got a guy in your own organization that you're developing into a guy like that. One day he'll get set in a position, it'll probably be second base or, you know, maybe third base if they move Bryant to the outfield, but there's no question with his glove that makes that defense so much better. And Rizzo's having a great year with the glove at first, and Bryant's, you know, he's made some good plays. I wouldn't say he's gold glove at third, but he's solid. There's no question about it. He's got a good glove, and his bat is, you know, second to none right now in the league.
Yeah, it's exciting times to be a sports fan, of course, with football and everything starting this weekend and then coming up, and obviously the fantasy football stuff. And on the baseball side as well, you know, these are great times. And when you look throughout sports, I don't care what sport it is, so many of the mascots are animals, right? And the Cubs are actually animals. They're small bears. And so when we come back from this break, we're going to have, and I always love, you know, stories that have animals, uplifting stories, or maybe stories of danger and tragedy are always exciting too. So Dino's going to have some animal stories when we come back. It's Dane here on 720 WGN.
Monday afternoon, a very special visit to 720 WGN from a very special guest.
I am delighted to be here.
John Williams welcomes T.R., Teddy Roosevelt.
It would be so much easier to govern this country without Congress.
It's a special holiday rebroadcast of the recent visit of the most authentic Teddy Roosevelt you've ever met.
Let me just say, the Constitution exists for the people.
John Williams and the return of Teddy Roosevelt.
And not the people for the Constitution.
Labor Day afternoon at 1 on 720 WGN.
This is a great place for one-stop shopping.
Great prices.
Lots of value.
It's your everything store.
At Blaine's Farm and Fleet, you'll always find quality products, friendly service, and low prices. What else will you find? Let's ask our customers why they like shopping at Blaine's Farm and Fleet.
We drop the car off for some brake service.
We shop for automotive needs.
Oil filters, batteries.
Bought tires here.
Windshield washer fluid.
keep equipment fueled with a 12-volt, 15-gallons-per-minute transfer pump from GPI. This rotary gear design is made from durable, lightweight cast aluminum and has longer run times. It's ideal for agricultural, automotive, or construction applications with low-viscosity petroleum fuels. Right now, it's on sale for $279.99.
It's just a wide variety of everything at a great price.
Quality is great. Products are great.
Farm and Fleet's got the best deal around.
If Farm and Fleet doesn't sell it, you probably don't need it.
That's genuine value from Blaine's Farm and Fleet.
Attention men, if you have tried or wanted to try Viagra or Cialis, or if you've ordered an over-the-counter product in the last few years, Noxaprin is an option that is completely private, has received tremendous reviews, and can be to your door in just days. Pharmaceutical companies dislike us because we present a real option to their higher prices and insurance limits. After years of research, Noxaprin has been developed and formulated in U.S. FDA labs, packed with the highest quality, powerful ingredients. Noxaprin is a true breakthrough in male potency. The remarkable all-natural pill is being called Viagra on steroids. So what are you waiting for? Call now and ask how to get your free supply.
Call now and find out how to get your free bottle of Noxaprin while supplies last. Call 800-664-2149. That's 800-664-2149. Improve your sex life with your free bottle. Call 800-664-2149. 1-800-664-2149.
And we are back, 720 WGN. Danielle, right here in the Allstate Showcase studio, in for Patty Vasquez on Pretty Late Until 2 a.m. Elif in the booth. Dino Tiberi to my right. We talked Bears. We talked Cubs. And, you know, I think the common theme, regardless of what sport it is, that there's so many animals out there. I love animal stories. And, you know, they can get themselves into some interesting situations. And anyway, I guess we've got a couple worldwide as we span the globe. Where animals are front and center.
Yeah, there's this first one I ran across here. A Japanese fisherman uses karate skills to fend off bear.
So
let's paint the picture. There's a bear.
Well, he's a Japanese fisherman, so I'm guessing he's in a boat. And is this an aquatic bear? Like, what's with the bear?
I don't know about the... Well,
or is he in a salmon? Like, because sometimes the bears will scoop
sure,
fish
they just
out.
Grab fish right out of
so
there.
So maybe he's the fisherman, like kind of the shore style, or maybe the... what was that one with when Brad Pitt was in River Runs Through It or something?
Right. He was probably standing there in the water doing his thing. Here comes a bear wandering into the river. So it says here, according to the Straits Times, a 6-foot-tall Asian black bear approached the man as he was fishing near the Jizo River on Thursday afternoon. At first glance, it seemed like something was there, and it was a bear with an imposing stance.
So the bear was actually...
He must have had his dukes up or something.
He was... you never know. Maybe the local bears there have karate skills as well.
Well, that's true. And it said here, the man said, its rounded ears were perfectly circular, just like a teddy bear's, and his face was so huge. The 63-year-old man who holds a black belt in karate then engaged with the bear.
Because he didn't want to run away?
He needed a challenge, apparently, and managed to fend off the bear's attack. The bear had such great strength. I was knocked over when it leapt at me. It scratched me and bit me. But in the end, I managed to trick the bear, poked him in the eye, and it ran away.
So he went Three Stooges
on him. Exactly. It poked him right in the eye. Oh. Yeah, it's, you know, there were reports of bears being in the area and it discouraged residents from fighting back. The police said, don't fight back.
Listen,
if you witness
that.
A bear, don't fight. Walk away quietly and report it to the police instead.
This is a tough bunch of people there, because when you have to send out a public service announcement to, hey, when you see the bear, don't attack
run
it.
Run away.
don't fight the bear.
You know, it said here, the fisherman was able to bring himself to a nearby hospital where he was treated for minor injuries after receiving bite and claw marks on his body, head, and arms. So... A little bit
but
of a skirmish.
But you should see the bear.
You know, the bear, apparently, he ran back into the woods embarrassed that some 63-year-old fisherman poked him in the eye like one of the Stooges and ran away.
Two words, Dino, black belt. There's no shame in that. That guy's got to register his paws and his hands for with the police department as deadly weapons. So what's another one where the animals...
Well, let's see what else we've got another in the list of. Well, there's one where a Canadian cat takes a piggyback ride on a permissive pig. A trio of bears take over go on a swimming tour of neighborhood pools. We're back to the bear theme again. Apparently, they're just wandering around in one one pool after another. Let's see what else we got. A deer swimming in the ocean interrupts surf team's practice.
See, again, so these are animals.
Well, how does a deer, what the heck's a deer doing in the ocean, though? I don't understand that. How does he get out there?
Swimming, I'm guessing. So
let's take a look at that one. Because
traditional, you know, land-based animals, much like a bear, is, you know, typically, I mean, I know that they splash around at the zoo in the water. And, of course, polar bears spend a lot of time in the water. But you usually think of them, you know, they're not fish, right? So, and in the deer, you think of them even less, you know, taking a dip, especially in the ocean.
Yeah, it says here he was taking a casual swim in the ocean, and people had said they'd never seen a deer before. That's a little strange, but how would you not see a deer? I guess maybe in California you don't if you're never in the woods, but the deer reportedly hopped over rocks and nearly collided with a surfer before the team coach got on his surfboard that herded the deer back to the shore. So he was out deep, out in the water where the surfers were swimming.
That's crazy.
How would he even get out? No, to go out there. He's jumping from one rock to another. That doesn't make any sense. This is the first time I've ever heard of this, said Orange County lifeguard Captain Brad Herzog. I can tell you about dolphins, but a deer is a little bit out of my scope.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I just say it's an amazing animal world out there, and there's animals doing things that you wouldn't think they could.
Yeah, what in the
like
world?
Like swim in the ocean, maybe
surf. I never
would
have thought about that. Now, tomorrow I'm going to see a badger running around the sideline of a football game, so who knows?
That's a mascot.
Oh, that's right.
Or wasn't there? And, of course, animals can do anything. A lot of times they're inspired maybe by watching other people. Perhaps they could be trained, but wasn't there a squirrel that could water ski?
They always showed that clip. Yeah, I think that was a scene in Ron Burgundy where they showed that clip, actually.
Okay, so that was a Hollywood squirrel, an acting one.
Oh, exactly.
So a few minutes before 2 a.m., Dane here in for Patty Vasquez. You can follow me at Dane Tonomo on Twitter. And, of course, check out WGN Plus for the Dane Neal Show. We're going to take a break when we come back. We're going to wrap it up before Mark Carmen comes in. It's Dane on 720 WGN.
Chicago's most accurate weather forecast, today on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
And we are back. That was a very short commercial break, Olive, but I appreciate it. So, Dina, did we have one that was a tortoise?
There was one in there. I'm going to do a little digging to pull that one up. I was unaware we were coming right back on a quick break there, so it's going to take me a second to dig through and find this. We always talk about the doo-doo sculpture, too. So.
Yes, let's do that. Well, I mean, I think that was kind of interesting. You know, art can take many forms, and people can, they can interpret art as whatever it is that they say. And I think that when you start putting limits on what is art and what is not art, whether it's a butter sculpture or whether it's, you know, maybe offensive photographs, right? You know, as long as they don't fit in with whatever the laws prevent.
Now, there's a picture of this one. It looks like it was on Twitter under Project Montreal.
Okay, so this is Montreal. This is a major city. You know, it's in Canada, but it's still major.
Yeah, opposition leaders in Montreal are poo-pooing the city's decision to top a bus shelter with a giant dog poop sculpture complete with oversized flies.
So it isn't actually made of. It's just a sculpture of.
Well, it's actually on top of this. If you see the picture, it would be like that right there, that bus shelter outside of our window here on the showcase studio. But it had a pile of dog poop with flies on top of it.
Well, you wonder what the, is there any kind of quote from the artist there, like what they're trying to show, or maybe it's, I mean, there's a statement of some kind being made, I'm sure. Of
yeah, it says here, I feel this misses the mark. They want to shock, and they did shock, said City Councilor Craig Sauve, a Project Montreal member. How will this appear to tourists? Why is it in front of a historic park we just renovated? So I'm not sure. There's a couple different factions involved in this, and this was it looks like a $540,000 cleanliness campaign that included billboards, street performances, and videos by the city. The city's involved in this. Well, actually, the city said the sculpture was part of this $540,000 campaign. So I don't know if there's multiple ones around the city, but there's one right on top of a bus stop. So
All right, well, welcome to Montreal.
Yeah, how about that?
I want to thank everybody that listened to the show. Thanks to everybody who participated. Brady Lowe with Cachone and the Heritage Barbecue coming up. Of course, Jen Weigel with the paranormal situation and all the things that she's doing is going to be up in the Wisconsin Dells, In Touch with the Other Side, and Adam Rank from NFL Network kind of with his hand on the pulse of the whole fantasy world and the real world too.
Yeah, no, he was very engaging, and he was a guy that very opinionated on what he was going on about fantasy football, and I enjoyed talking with him.
And thanks to you, Dino, and of course, Ella.